you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Yeah, that's hot. You take it. You take it now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you like that, don't you, bitch? I'm a bad boy. Yeah, take that.
You've tutored for an adult literacy program. What one book would you recommend to everybody?
I would recommend Dr. Seuss's The Road Less Traveled, the Dr. Seuss book. I forgot the name, but it's a really good book. The Muckety Mucks. I'm so sorry.
Bombs are flying. People are dying. Children are crying. Politicians are lying too. Cancer is killing. Texaco's spilling. The whole world's gone to hell, but how are you?
I'm super! Thanks for asking. All things considered, I couldn't be better, I must say. I'm feeling super. No, nothing bugs me. Everything is super when you're... Don't you think I look cute in this hat?
And now, the roof is on fire. We don't need no water. Let the mother burn.
Our feature presentation.
That's Love, featuring Arthur Lee, lead singer of Love. And he didn't write that. Burt Bacharach wrote that song. But Lee wrote most all the songs that Love did.
Okay.
Anyway, that was My Little Red Book by Arthur Lee.
Right, it's our turn.
It's a song that Jim Morrison heard on the radio and goes, we gotta sound like that. And in fact, it was Arthur Lee that actually booked the Doors to open for them when Love headlined the Whiskey A Go Go. And Arthur Lee brought the Doors to Elektra Records and got them signed.
Right.
What can I say? Maybe the people will be the times between Clark and Hilldale. That's the street off Sunset Boulevard where the Whiskey A Go Go.
You don't have to explain everything.
Well, it's still there, but not the same.
That's the end of that story, right?
I remember one time I had David Cassidy from the Partridge Family.
What?
And Bobby Gillespie of Primal Scream on my show. And we got a phone call from Arthur Lee.
Oh!
He called in.
It must have been crazy.
Spoke to him, and Bobby Gillespie was on acid. He was on kind of on LSD. And it blew Bobby Gillespie's mind, basically, because that was his idol, Arthur Lee. When I was a kid, I was in the 4-H Club, and I raised pigeons.
How does that relate at all?
I had these classic pigeons, and so did Arthur Lee. He collected pigeons as well. He raised them, and we talked about all these like really rare pigeons.
That must have been great radio.
They're called Russian fantail pigeons. They look like little tiny miniature turkeys, but they were pigeons.
Okay.
And Arthur had those, too.
Too much information.
We talked about the old days, and we talked about how I was addicted to Diet Right Cola and sunflower seeds.
What?
He must have found that interesting. So anyway, as
Bobby Gillespie and
Arthur Lee were talking and stuff, we somehow managed to get together with a band from Santa Barbara called Citrus Groove.
Okay, that's enough.
Arthur Lee got together with Bobby Gillespie from Primal Scream and Citrus Groove and recorded this song, one of his songs, Arthur Lee's song.
We're not playing a love
Flash
song right
on
now.
You, and here it is, Rare.
Mohinder?
You know, it's sad. You know, he's a legend and all, and they're burying him tomorrow, I guess, on Hollywood Boulevard, I guess.
No.
I mean, it's just, it's a real loss for the music community, that's all.
I don't think they're burying him. I think he's getting his star on the Walk of Fame.
But they're putting him under the star is what I heard. They're burying him and then putting the star on top of him.
I think he's still alive.
That would make sense, by the way.
How can you tell? How can you tell, Lisa?
Good point.
Come on. Actually, tomorrow. How hard is that to believe?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, actually happening.
Very cool.
And he deserves it.
He does.
What'd you think of the work that Rodney's doing, Paula Abdul?
Did you ever think that you'd be up on this stage right now getting the adoration, the applause? You are so phenomenal. You're so likable. You're lovable. You're brilliant on stage. And it's like, I can't wait every week. I just want to see what's the next little rabbit you're going to pull out of your hat. You're fantastic.
Okay.
The energy that you brought to the stage today.
That's fine.
And I just think each week you're getting better and better and better. And you are like exploding, coming into your own artistry what does that is even unbelievable. Mean? I think that you're going to be here for a long
time. How do you explode?
For me, there's just one thing that's consistent.
Okay.
You can sing,
okay.
sing,
Thank
sing.
You, Paul.
And you got this gorgeous.
All right.
Your voice is just, it soars and it just pierces through.
Let somebody else
talk. You've got an amazing instrument and okay. you look beautiful tonight. And it's just a whole different energy tonight. It's
okay.
fantastic.
That's.
I thought you were darn near flawless.
Okay. What are we going to do?
Beautiful voice. And you've got great
showmanship. Is she talking about Rodney?
And,
I think so.
Commanded the stage, and you did a great job. You've already made us love you.
I'd like to hear Rodney interview Paula at this point.
You don't have to run anywhere. You're going to stay right here, and you're going to work on being the next idol.
Okay, that's enough. That's
right. Johnny got accepted for a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Johnny Grant called, and I've been accepted. And I want to thank all the K-Rock listeners who mm-hmm. participated and the people that helped out with that. And even the morning show on the Kevin and Bean show.
Even us?
They helped out with that as well. I want to say thank you. And I'm going to make it up to you. And when I do my anniversary show, I'm going to play my first interview ever on the Rodney and the Rock show. And that's with the Ramones. I'll be doing that end of August. Ramones interview, the Sex Pistols, mm-hmm. and a few others.
Why the end of
August? My anniversary show.
Why the end
so
of August?
We'll be getting the Hollywood star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Tomorrow?
Oh, that's
next year.
Star.
No. 07.
No,
that's
tomorrow.
A good number,
this
isn't
is
it?
07. 07. Tomorrow.
Anyway, and as you know, K-Rock, you know, is going to do this big party when I get the star on.
Don't count on it.
On Hollywood Boulevard, Walk of Fame. There's going to be a huge party that day. It won't be until next
party.
Year. But one of the bands
it's
I want to get to play.
It's tomorrow.
The party want to be the Donnas.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens. You never know.
You never know. All right. There is a party.
This is more or less who I imagined you to be.
Yeah. Paula.
This is the style that suits you best. As I was saying, both of them, I didn't know the song either, but what's great is I was
what
interested.
Are you talking about?
And that's hard to do when you don't know a song. And forgive me, I didn't know, but I was totally in there going, this is really cool.
Yeah, man.
Thank you. Good job. That's your unique quality.
Oh,
and you really pulled it out on this
right,
one.
Right,
you did
Paula.
Really, really well. And you picked a great song, too, because
I thought you didn't know the song,
intonation in your voice, too, that lends itself to
what are you talking
kind
about?
Of a pop country. You just adapted well. You picked a great song. I think it was pretty phenomenal, and we haven't heard that in
okay.
any of the competitions.
We,
so
we really got to move
I
on.
I think you're really, really getting in there and proving why you belong on that stage.
All right, we must be done now.
My
we have
God.
To move on to talk about today's Kevin and Bean show. All right, it's Thursday morning. It is the 8th of March. Bow, bow.
Yay, 106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q.
No.
I'm out of here.
Okay, good.
Mohinder?
Say goodnight, and hopefully I'll get some sleep.
Hopefully.
I
That'd
doubt
be good.
I never get sleep where I live.
Oh, that's
I'm
not
a robot.
What?
But anyway, I'm out of here. And
okay, good.
Hopefully everything will work out, and be safe
so
and sane on Halloween. And remember, don't eat those apples with the razor blades in them.
It's the 8th of March, 8th of March, Rodney.
Yeah.
8th March.
Anna.
07.
Cow.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Okay.
We're going to do a segment today on meeting your heroes and blowing it.
Oh,
come on. What are you saying?
Yeah.
What started that suggestion? I'm saying that I'm shocked beyond words that you didn't. I'm shocked beyond words that you sat next to astronaut Buzz Aldrin, who Bean worships.
I didn't blow it. I had several people who tell me that I did. I missed a golden opportunity to have a conversation.
Right. You know, that would have been good for
with
you.
One of my heroes.
That would have been good for you, but not for him. That's the point. You actually thought about somebody else, and that, I believe, is the first time ever.
I'm backing you on
Lisa?
That.
Lisa?
Yeah.
First
Call
time
my therapist
ever.
Yeah. And tell him I had a breakthrough?
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
I actually thought about somebody else. Your therapist will faint. So, but not everybody is able to practice that kind of restraint. People have to talk to their heroes, and mm-hmm. a lot of times it just doesn't come out right.
Yeah, or their heroes aren't.
Or their heroes
aren't. They are.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you regret it, and you wish you had just kept the image alive of what that person was going to be like.
Right. Without saying anything. Also on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, we have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Good.
Talking about all of the new information that's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
How about Anna Nicole?
Brittany.
There's new Anna Nicole. How? How is there new?
You think the news would slow down once she died, but that's not been the case.
How long ago did she die?
Mm, 3 weeks? Has it been that?
Gotta be, yeah.
Is there something new every day? It seems like it's picking up steam.
Yeah.
Like it's getting stronger and stronger the longer it goes. She's going to be Elvis in about a year.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. People are going to, you know, go to her birthplace, and they're going to go to her, you know, where she's buried in the Bahamas, and pilgrimages, and all kinds of stuff.
I'm ready for sightings. I'm ready for the Anna Nicole sightings to start.
She's still alive, sure. New movie opens tomorrow called 300, which looks fantastic.
Yum.
Frank Miller. Gerard Butler is going to be on the show today. He's the star of that show.
Alex sent me photos of some of the guys. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
They're unbelievable.
Is it a gay movie, Lisa?
No, it's not.
No, they're manly. Okay.
Just eye candy for you.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Lisa May. I'll be there. Lisa.
And the continuing coverage of the continuing coverage of Anna Nicole.
Okay.
With Entertainment Tonight and The Insider, I believe daily setting new lows in television.
They're doing a bang-up job.
They really have decided that they want to hold down the fortress. They want to be the bottom. They want everybody to look to say, that's bad TV.
So we're not low enough. Let's dig some more, people.
Yes, and continue digging. They have married themselves to the Anna Nicole story.
Wow.
Unable to do pretty much anything else. And 3 weeks later, they're still going strong.
Awesome.
So we got some coverage of that coming up as well. And we're going to take a quick break and come back with Ralph's Showbiz Beat next. What are you doing? Somehow Ralph and Lightning are fighting over in the corner. It's the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 5:49.
Hey, we didn't mention it, but I think we have more tickets for My Chemical Romance. Sold out this weekend. Two Southern California shows. You can win them today. And, of course, tomorrow we're giving away My Chem tickets and the Nintendo Wii system. Plus, you get to go backstage with the band. So if you're a My Chem fan, the next couple of days, crucial listing here at the world-famous K-Rock. It is 5:49. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Why are you playing two things at once, Ralph?
Sorry. Because it's horrible, horrible news.
Oh, dude. What? I hadn't heard anything.
Yesterday, Captain America was killed.
I don't understand.
He's a...
Captain America?
Hello?
Comic book character.
Comic book guy?
Superhero representing our country.
Mm-hmm.
Shot on the steps of a courthouse as he was being taken in.
Who shot
him? We're talking about a person, or?
We're talking about a hero that's protected this country, Lisa, for 66 years, wearing the stars and stripes, fighting Hitler and Tojo, all the way up till today.
A lot of fictional characters in movies and TV shows and comic books get killed all the time. It doesn't mean somebody really died, you know, right? It's just it's a plot line for a comic book.
Oh, Cap.
We hardly knew you.
We're not talking about a guy who was an actor.
No,
talking about
the actual cartoon.
The cartoon.
More importantly than some actor, Lisa, it's Captain America. It's Captain freaking America. What does he have to do to gain your respect?
Oh no, I didn't. Well, he was alive.
Oh, I guess fighting World War II and Vietnam and protecting our soil and fighting back terrorists and Nazis and criminals of all kinds, shapes, and sizes. I guess he doesn't garner any quarter in your arena.
How old was he if he was fighting Nazis?
Well, you have to remember he was frozen in a block of ice, put in suspended animation.
I didn't know that either.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That explains a lot. Thank you.
I can't say that I'll miss him a tremendous amount, Ralph. I'm sorry to offend.
Well, I'd like to hit you in the head with a shield. That's what I'd like to do.
Okay, well.
It looks like, Kenny, you've been crying all night, too.
I'm sorry for you, Ralph.
It's rough.
I am.
It's rough.
Noted. I'm saying goodbye to Cap. I just wonder how the Falcon's going to take it, you know? His longtime partner.
Is that his pet?
No, his pet.
His partner.
Football team?
Is that his dog, the Falcon? Hey, come here, Falcon.
What's the
whole team?
What's the Falcon's powers?
He can fly.
He can fly. Okay.
Yeah. What would you imagine with a Falcon?
What was Captain America's power?
Well, you know, he was injected with the super soldier serum back when he was a young private.
Oh, yes.
In the army, and that's what gave him his super strength and near invulnerability.
Near?
Okay, yeah. If they have a super soldier serum, they can make as many Captain Americas as they want, then.
Well, you would think if the Nazis hadn't killed the professor who was working for our side who developed it.
They did not.
So just one soldier got the dose of the serum, and that was Captain America.
Oh, I can't believe those.
Did the Falcon get frozen, too?
No, Lisa.
So he's really
old. You have to remember, Captain America fought alongside Bucky early on in the World War II years, and then when he was frozen and he was thawed out, he joined the Avengers, and that's when he met Falcon.
Well, what happened to Bucky?
Bucky got blown up by a bomb.
Oh!
He wasn't invincible.
Lisa wouldn't have mourned him either, I guess.
Bucky got blown to bits.
Protesting us against the Nazis.
Ralph, you got anything that's happening maybe in real life today that we could talk about? Or
we can talk about who Ashley Simpson's dating.
Did you like that?
No, I don't really care about that either.
Oh, see, now Captain America's looking pretty good, isn't he?
He sure is.
Apparently, Ashley Simpson is bummed out that Pete Wentz, a Fallout Boy, won't bang her, according to the New York Post.
Wow.
He's not that into her, says Friends. Sounds like that's the only girl Pete Wentz isn't into lately.
No kidding.
Is Ashley Simpson. So apparently at a party on Friday night, Reese Witherspoon tried to hit on Ryan Phillippe, Reese Witherspoon's future ex. She was rejected by him, then moved on to Chad Hugo of the Neptunes, and Jeez. Finally scored with Chad.
Okay.
Because the Neptunes aren't that big a band, I guess. So Chad can afford to bang Ashley Simpson without losing any face. Rosie O'Donnell announced yesterday that she's been undergoing treatment for depression for 8 years. She's depressed.
Rosie is.
Look, if I was Rosie O'Donnell, I'd be depressed, too. She's got an interesting way of dealing with it. She chooses phototherapy, light, because apparently she gets more depressed when it's gray and cloudy outside.
Right.
And also hangs upside down for half an hour a day.
Is that a joke?
Nope, but I would like to see some footage of Rosie O'Donnell trying to get one of those inversion chairs, trying to hang upside down. That's got to be spectacular.
She really hangs upside down.
Yes, she does.
And that's supposed to help your depression by?
Increases blood flow to the brain, they claim. It's an experimental therapy, but she says it works.
Huh.
She has a hard time breathing, though, because the fat just envelops her head, and she has a hard time breathing. She's got to put her on an aqua lung. Freaking Rosie O'Donnell.
Don't be stupid!
She might not be as depressed if she would just stop hating everything and everybody. Like maybe a little better attitude. Maybe she needs the secret.
Doctor, heal thyself. That's all I got to tell you, Mr. Bean. Lindsay Lohan, by the way, is just boy crazy now that she's out of rehab, according to In Touch magazine. So far, she's been seen with some unknown mystery dude. Two guys from the band Fallout Boy, Jackass star Steve-O, and one of the stars of Road Trip, DJ Qualls, the geek boy from that movie. That's just since she's been out of rehab. What's that, a couple weeks?
She's making up for lost time.
Yeah. Friends say they have to get her back into rehab so she can try to quit penis.
Do they have rehab for that?
Sober from penis. Yes, it's called an Indio Girls concert. Or an Indigo Girls concert,
that one,
depending on which band you like of those two. Speaking of boobs... I wasn't, but I'm always thinking it.
Sure.
Joe Francis of Girls Gone Wild has made an offer to Antonella Barba. What a surprise.
Yeah.
He says if she gets kicked off American Idol, he'll pay her $250,000 to do a video for the Girls Gone Wild series. But she won't even have to show her boobs to get it. It'll be a hosting gig.
Seems like good pay.
She'll host a tape featuring other girls showing their boobs.
No kidding.
Wow. But he just wants to, tie his... hitch her wagon to her star, so to speak, and try to get some residual publicity off of her recently. By the way, last night, did she blow.
I thought you weren't watching her at all.
The wife's watching.
Oh.
So when you walk around the house, you stick your head in and I say, was this the boob girl? Oh, let me see. Ooh. And you walk back out again.
She was bad.
You know, I haven't minded the girl episodes, Ralph. There is some talent on that stage.
Of all
the guys, it's a washout.
Yeah. Of all, I think the whole show is mediocre this year, and that's why I'm not watching it. But if there is any talent, it is in the women. But I took a gander at her last night. She's not good. I think the boobs are keeping her around. I think it might work in her favor, quite frankly.
Sure. That's why the other girls hate her.
More showbiz news. Daily Variety magazine has announced they're starting to firm up the cast for the big screen version of the Broadway musical Mamma Mia. You know, since Chicago made all that money and Dreamgirls has been a big hit, they're making a lot of more Broadway-style movie musicals these days. And Mamma Mia, the popular Broadway musical based on the ABBA music, will star Meryl Streep. And looks like Pierce Brosnan will appear opposite her.
What?
And he will do his own singing in the film.
Really?
Pierce Brosnan?
I didn't know Pierce was a singer.
Huh.
He can do anything, as far as I'm concerned.
I guess.
Interesting news coming out about Van Halen. Rolling Stone magazine reports that the reason the Van Halen tour was canceled last month was not because of the ongoing feud between Eddie and David Lee Roth, but because of Eddie's alleged alcohol problems. Apparently, he was drinking 24/7, according to Sammy Hagar, when they were touring in 2004. And David Lee Roth hasn't commented, but people around rehearsals said the situation was pretty similar. So Eddie's getting himself some help. I've heard he's rooming next to Britney Spears.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
Really? Wow. Yeah.
They're sharing a suite.
Is that a euphemism?
No, sir.
He's had a problem for decades, though, right? I mean, this is going way back with Eddie, right, Ralph?
Yeah. He liked the Jack Daniels on the road.
Yeah.
And sometimes Jack has a way of just moving in. Yeah. Sometimes you visit with Jack, you spend a little time with Jack, you go out for a couple drinks with Jack, you have him at dinner,
Next thing you know, he's sleeping on your couch. Yep. Then next thing you know, he's in bed next to you.
Yeah.
Keep asking him to leave, he won't go.
Next thing you know, you're swallowing Jack.
Oh, man. Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what she said.
That's what she said.
I hear it's not just Jack, by the way.
Oh, really?
As well, yeah.
See, funny thing is, I heard you don't need Jack.
Oh.
A boo.
This is why we don't give him his own microphone.
Wait a minute. You can't applaud yourself. That's not acceptable.
You know, David Lee Roth and Van Halen were supposed to get back together again for a reunion tour. The Police, of course, having a big reunion tour. Looks like the year of the reunion tour. Genesis just announced yesterday they're getting back together for a big reunion tour.
Woo-hoo.
First time in 15 years they've played together.
Kevin, you won't believe this because you didn't believe it about the Police, but it's so huge. I mean, they're playing stadiums, for God's sakes.
Sure it is. I just have so no interest.
I know, I hear you, brother, but they're selling tickets for Giant Stadium, Hollywood Bowl. Venues all over Canada, North America, and Europe, and looks like it's going to be a monster tour. The only good side I can see is it keeps Phil Collins from singing Su Su Studio again.
Yeah, that's true.
His solo stuff gets left behind when he does the Genesis stuff.
And those awful Disney soundtracks he does.
Yeah, so we're dodging a bullet there.
All right.
And finally, you know, I've been so excited about a little film you may not have heard of called Black Sheep.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes.
But it's a New Zealand film about a genetically engineered sheep that goes wrong. The experiment goes wrong, and the cute little sheep turn into violent, thirsty blood killers. or bloodthirsty, violent killers. Yes. And it hadn't had a distribution company here in the United States pick it up yet.
Oh, I thought there was already a date.
No, you could see the trailer online if you went on the internet, but it wasn't scheduled to be released here in the States yet. Well, finally, the Weinstein Company has picked it up, and it will be released here in America soon.
Fantastic.
Awesome. So we will get to see a film that tells you to get ready for, and I quote, it's publicity material for the violence of the lambs. I can't wait. Apparently, if one of the bad sheep bites you, you turn into like a were-sheep.
Oh,
you got like half man, half sheep, because it's genetic mutation, man. You can't F with that stuff.
According to Lighting, we're going to be talking to the movie's director soon.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's
finally, a
news.
Guest of value.
Black sheep.
A guest of value. By the way, speaking of guests of value, apparently Eddie Money wants to come on the show. He's got a new album coming out next
week.
Yeah,
we're pretty packed.
So look for Eddie Money to be on the
pretty
show next
jammed
week.
Up.
Be a good time.
Next week it's full.
Eddie
completely.
And Megan Hilton will be doing the show together next week.
Full. It's completely packed.
They're singing a duet.
And don't even have one break. I wish we did.
It's going to be good times.
Yeah.
Before I get to celebrity birthdays, a real quick email I have to get to. This comes from Nicholas Madrone, one of our listeners, and I appreciate that. He's got a little question for me. Ralph, what do you call a Puerto Rican who had her candy dispenser collection stolen?
Candy dispenser.
Yeah, I had no idea, but it turned out her name is Jennifer Lopez. Jennifer Lopez. That's so funny because of all the jokes in the world, you got so many jokes, mostly about celebrities and things like that. Anything you could joke about.
Probably think, billions
you
of
You would
jokes.
Think there wouldn't be room for any joke of this ilk to find its way somehow into the public consciousness. And yet, Nicholas, by drafting this one simple email, has come up with a joke that entertains, educates, and leaves a frosty, minty taste in your mouth. When
does it educate?
Yes, I think it's spectacular.
How can you possibly explain how he was able to do that, Ralph?
Well, it turns out when it comes to a subject matter for humor, there's always room for J-Lo!
Yay!
It's been a while. It's good.
Yeah. Oh, this is turning out to be a total waste of time.
How dare you? Today's celebrity birthdays, James Vanderbeek.
Oh. Yes.
From Dawson's Creek. Talk about being on top of the world one moment, and the next day you take your giant cereal box-shaped head into the unemployment line and say, yeah, I used to be Dawson. Can I have my check, please?
What was that horrible football movie he was in?
Varsity Blues.
That was it, yeah.
I don't want your life, Dad! He's 30 years old today. Freddie Prinze Jr. Wow, it's just former heartthrob week here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's 31 years old today. Kathy Ireland. Remember Kathy Ireland?
Oh,
model
yeah.
Actress.
Yeah.
She's still sporty at 44. And Cameron Manheim. Ooh, remember Cameron Manheim?
Oh, no.
Ooh, yeah, from
no.
The practice. How dare you. She's 46 years old today. And Gary Numan, the guy who sang that song Cars.
Sure.
Here in my cars, I just have one hit. You will never hear from me again. I love that song. He's 49 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Name of the band is Silver Sun Pickups with a song dedicated to our friend Oto called Lazy Eye.
Yeah.
World famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ.
It's 626. Keep listening for more tickets for My Chemical Romance that you can win for their sold-out shows. They're playing the Anaheim Arena and the Forum this weekend. And again, tomorrow, you win Nintendo Wii systems along with your My Chem tickets, and you get to go backstage to play Wii with the band. So that's all coming. What? That's Gerard Butler. What the hell's going on here?
Oh, my God.
Hello?
Hello?
Who is this?
It is Roland.
Oh, it didn't. I've never heard Roland cry.
Wow. What's wrong?
Roland?
Is this about Toby walking away from Spider-Man after this movie?
No!
Did your mom kick you out of the basement?
No.
Someone
died?
Did you and Daniel have a fight?
Yeah, someone died.
Oh, did you know?
Oh, Roland.
When Captain America throws his mighty shield. What? Of those who chose to oppose his shield, the shield. Then he led to a fight, and the duel is doomed. And the
red
and the blue come through. When Captain America Listen, we already gave Captain America more than enough time
you
on the air today. Ralph
he
already talked.
Everything, and you gave him nothing.
Ralph already talked about it for like 20 minutes today. We're done with Captain America talk.
Captain America first appeared in Captain America Comics number 1, March 1941.
Right, but it was just a comic, Roland.
Yeah, it was a comic. It was the spirit of America fighting for our rights.
Right.
He fought Nazis and Japanese and communists and criminals. What's wrong with you?
Well, don't you think like 65 years is enough for a comic? Really?
If ever we needed him, we need him now.
Right, but he can't really help us now. He's just a character. He's not really going to go fight Al-Qaeda.
America!
Oh, my God, Roland.
Listen, you got to get over this,
you
Roland.
You have to get it. You have to understand.
It's not real life, Roland.
It's just a comic.
It's just a comic book. It's going to be okay. Life goes on.
Unforgiving America, does it?
What?
Yeah, Captain America does it.
No, he does not. No, I guess he died. So.
Yeah, he died.
When people die, you have to kind of accept it and then move on, Roland.
I don't even want to know what that was. I don't know what I got to go.
What? Well, you could start by hanging up and taking us out of the equation.
Let's sing for Captain America, shall we?
No.
When
no.
Captain America throws his mighty shield. All those who chose to oppose his shield must yield.
All right, listen.
And the red and the white and the blue will come through. When Captain America throws his mighty shield. God bless you, Captain America. God bless you. I gotta get a tissue.
What?
I gotta get a tissue.
Tissue.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're gonna let you go then, because we gotta move on and do other stuff. Yesterday, for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew, we talked to a person who got his hair cut by the Armenian comedian.
Mm-hmm. Poor guy.
And I guess he was up in Simi Valley because he's been banned from every place in San Fernando.
Yeah, pretty much.
So he's up there and he's cutting hair and he's saying, oh, you know who I am? I work for K-Rock. I'm the Armenian comedian. And he's just going on and on. And we found a bunch of Afro calls that Sam left. And I'd like to play the first one for you and see if you can figure out at all what he's talking about. There's music in the background. He's singing about cutting hair. I'm not. See if you can figure something out here. Sounds like he said, I'm the first hair cutter.
Good, I didn't hear that.
I
heard nothing.
I think. And then he goes on for about a half an hour.
Is he playing that?
I don't know. I think he's got his little flute thing. But then he called back and left another message. And I think this one says it a little more succinctly.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, this is Sam, the world record holder of Guinness Book of Records. I'm going to be the most hair cutting, systematical, precision cutting, everything you want to talk about it. I'm going to be the most world holder.
Okay, I speak Sam. I think he tried to say Guinness Book of World Records in there someplace.
Oh, no,
that's
kidding.
What he's talking about.
I think.
To be the most hair cutter? What does that mean?
There must be some record.
I'm the fastest and greatest and designers and also the most funniest hair cutter of all time. give me a call. I'm going to beat the world's whole record, Genesis World Record.
It's a Genesis. I think he means Guinness.
I'm all excited.
I'm
okay.
Excited.
Here's what I'm going to tell you. Oh, dear God.
Sam, here's what I'm going to tell you.
Oh, dear God. Here's what. Before we go to him, what you're looking for in a haircut, and I think you guys will agree with me, is the fastest haircut.
Yes.
No, that's,
yeah.
That's what really means
speed.
Quality.
Yes.
Speed is what's essential. When you got a guy with scissors around your ears, that's what you want is speed.
In and out time should be about 3 minutes. Sam?
That's what she said.
Yeah.
The Armenian comedian on the phone. How are you, buddy?
Oh, man, I'm so excited about all these things. I'm going to kick that German's butt up. Man.
Okay, you're going to kick the German's butt up. All right, let me ask you, Sam, you can't use,
how long have you been on this show? You can't use language like that on the radio.
Well, I'm telling you, when
hold on a second.
Why are you retarded? Look, you're not even making any sense. We don't even know what you're talking about.
Okay, let me ask you this question. Are you talking about the Guinness Book of World Records?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
And what's the record?
Yes, I make. When is going to be?
No. What? Okay. What?
Can you turn your radio down? Do you have your radio on in the background, Sam? Is that what we hear?
Oh, Lightning's got the book. Lightning, turn on the mics. Lightning just brought in the Guinness Book of World Record, the actual book.
We actually just got the 07 edition not too long ago. Hold on a second. Most haircuts one day, Christian Petrio. And from Italy, cut and styled 250 different heads and washed hair on June 18th through 19th, 2004, at Nico Style Hair Salon, Hamburg, Germany.
Oh, so that's what
looks like. Looks like 250 haircuts in a day.
So he cut. Okay.
So this Italian guy that has the current record is the German whose ass you're going to kick.
I am going to. Oh, man.
All right, hold on a second. Bean, we have a little problem, and that's that when we got out of delay, the delay failed. So now we have no delay.
So we can't talk to Sam.
We can't.
No, you can't trust Sam.
Can we?
No.
No.
No, we can't.
Can you pick up the phone and talk to him off the air?
Sam, listen to me. We're going to have to go with just yes or no answers from you, okay?
Yes.
Only yes or no. You are trying to break the Guinness World Record for the most haircuts in a day.
Yes.
Okay.
And this is something you want our help with?
I've been dreaming for this, yes.
You've been dreaming for this. Okay, that's not more words than just yes or no.
I wish we could talk to Sam, but his potty mouth makes that impossible because of FCC regulations.
Here's, you know what? Lightning, you know, we've been talking about Lightning's place. Lightning opened a place in Cal State
Fullerton.
Cal State Fullerton?
Yeah.
No. Cal State Long Beach.
Cal State Long Beach? Okay.
Cal State Long Beach. And there's a bunch of starving students there that could use a free haircut. So why don't we have Sam do it at his place?
Because it's a hideous thing to do to people. Because nobody's going to look good after they get their hair cut in a speed trial.
Whoa, I know. The Lightning has to be his boss.
No.
What do you mean no?
It's not my salon. It's my wife's. So
yes.
There's no way she's going to appreciate this.
But it's on the campus of a school. If you're going to set a record, that's the place you got.
It's true. And a lot of guys don't care about their
hair.
Though
that makes sense.
Right?
And I understand that. I don't think we need that kind of PR.
Sam?
Yes.
We've got a place for you, buddy.
Oh.
We've got a place. It's at Cal State Long Beach.
Uh-huh.
And I see you there. I see your band set up.
I'm going to get my ass kicked.
I see you cutting hair, washing hair, singing, cutting hair, washing hair. And you'll add even another part to this record, which is to sing along as well.
Whoa.
And you'll be in the book, the Guinness Book of World Records.
That's right.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's not nearly as easy to get into the book, by the way, as you think it is. You could ask the King of Mexico, who's tried and failed twice to set world records. So it is actually very difficult to do.
But KOM is no Sam.
I'd like to have a stage.
You'd like to have a stage? Okay.
Stage.
Done. What else would you like?
My band, after we're going to rock the college down.
You're going to rock the college down? Okay. And that's good or bad. Is this after you set the record, or is it after you cut a certain number of haircuts?
Right after, with all kinds of girls on the stage doing go-go dancing.
Okay.
But
Sam, you might not understand this. This is a 24-hour period. This is a 24-hour record. So it's not like you're going to cut hair for an hour and then jam the college down.
As soon as you have some kind of a bungalow set up in the backstage, I'm all for it.
What?
Huh? But I think what Kevin said, he wants Kevin a bomb backstage so he can get high.
Oh.
What Kevin is pointing out, though, is you cut hair for 24 hours straight in order to set the record. Is that something you're prepared to do?
I want also Kevin's buddy, Ray, Everybody loves Raymond. I want Raymond to be there, too.
Oh, yeah. That'll happen.
That's Kevin's real close buddy, I hear.
Yeah, that'll happen. I'm sure he wants to get his hair cut by you.
Yeah, he wants to risk his looks.
As fast as possible. Now, Sam, do you think the 250, do you think that's doable in a 24-hour period?
I can do it, man. You know what? In 1 hour, I've cut six haircuts in one hour.
Okay, but you have to cut more than 10 an hour in order to hit this record.
That's right. I have to do that, and then I'm all for it. I'm all excited.
Right. We know you're excited now, but we're just asking. We're just double-checking 10 an hour, and then 3 hours later, still 10 an hour, and, you know, 12 hours later, still 10 an hour. That seems very difficult.
No, it's not.
Not at all. Okay.
No, it's not, says Sam, who's never done it before.
Right.
Hey. As long as there are a lot of girls in front of me and I'm doing the haircuts, I get more excited and more faster and more excited and more faster.
Yeah, I don't think they want to hear that you're going to be excited.
Mm. Yeah, I don't either. And Sam, you don't cut women's hair, though, right? You just do men's hair, right?
No. I do highlights. I do spiral perms. And
you won't have time for any of that, though. You can't. You're not going to have time to do that if you're going for the record.
Yeah, you just want guys.
I started from the length of their rear butt and crack all the way to the earlobes.
Okay. Sam, listen to me. Just for a second. You have to listen and not talk. You can't put color in people's hair and do, you know, long,
10 an hour.
Complicated cuts. If you're going to do 10 an hour, it has to be pretty much guys with short hair.
No, man, doesn't matter any length, any style. I do fast, so fast. I untangle their hair, no problem.
Okay.
I don't even have to section the hair.
All right, then. Listen.
He doesn't even look at the hair. He just brings out the clippers and just goes for it.
I can close one of my eyes and do that.
You can close one of your eyes.
That's what they're looking for.
I'll bet the German guy didn't do it with one eye closed. I bet he didn't.
I can even have one of my legs up in the air like a chicken.
Okay, you can have a leg up in the air like a chicken.
All right, listen, Sam,
how
hang
can
on
you
one
say
one.
That's not necessary?
Hang on one second.
So Bean, recap this for me, what you've just volunteered my wife's salon for.
I can't believe that Kevin has volunteered
you,
to be your wife for
you
this.
You and your lovely wife
horrible.
Are going to be Sam the Armenian Comedian's bosses. And he's going to set a world record jam the college down.
I think he's going to rock the college down,
right.
Isn't he?
I don't know. Like it makes a difference.
Cal State Long Beach.
All right, shut up, Sam. Shut up, Sam. Listen, lady, what we need to do, and hopefully this will be our out and we can figure out a way to not have to do this to you,
yes,
is we need to talk to the Guinness people, or excuse me, the Genesis Book people again, and we need to find out how much of a haircut you have to give to qualify as a haircut. Because I can just see a guy sitting down and getting, you know, one piece of, you know, haircut, and that
one
counts.
Snip, and then move on.
Yeah,
right.
We need to find out what's involved in an actual haircut to see if it's even possible. Because you know how uncoordinated Sam is, anyway.
Okay.
I mean, seriously.
Maybe he's still on the line.
I know he is, but he's an idiot. He's got no shot at this.
Hold on a second. When I'm uncoordinated in life and funny, when I come to haircut, I'm so precision. Is our no question about it.
I think I'm the one who loves Sam the most because he makes me seem like a master of the English language.
Mm-hmm. He does. He is so precision, though, Kevin. You got to remember that.
He's the only person that's actually way, way, way below me in English skills.
I wonder if he could use the Flowbee or something to speed it up.
Oh, Flowbee.
We have a lot of questions. Sam, listen, we're going to look into this and then call you back later and tell you it can't be done, okay?
For sure.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Armenian comedian.
Bye now.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat at 6:56. Good morning, Ralph.
You know him well enough to call him Jerry, do you?
Yeah, we don't call him that.
Apparently that's what he prefers, is Jerry, is what I understand.
Jerry. Mm. I hope so. He's a mean mother. You seen the trailers? Tonight we died in hell. You want to call him Jerry?
Mr. Butler is call him, I think, coming up.
Before we get to Mr. Butler and all the showbiz news, speaking of dudes who chicks like, I've got tickets to spend the evening with the cast and creators of Prison Break.
Oh, wow.
Wentworth Miller and those other hunky dudes from prison.
Hello, Poon.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It is part of the Museum of Television Radio's Television Festival. It's going on all month long, and this show's a monster hit. Monster hit for Fox. Tomorrow night is the night you get to spend with the creators. I'll tell you how they came up with the show, how they executed it, and then how, no pun intended, executed, but then how the cast got involved, and they'll be there to answer your questions as well. I've got two pairs of tickets to give away to some real Prison Break fans. A little bit of trivia here. If you know the answer and you're one of the first two callers with the correct answer at 1-800-520-1067, you're going to get a pair of tickets to spend the evening with the gang from Prison Break. Here's the trivia question. The show is filmed on location at the old Joliet Prison there in Illinois. And many of the scenes are filmed in an actual jail cell that housed a famous serial killer. Which serial killer was in the cell that they shot a lot of the scenes in for Prison Break? You just have to know the name of that famous serial killer. 1-800-520-1067. And if you know the right answer, you're one of the first two callers. You will get it.
I went last night to the Dexter night.
Oh, that's right. I forgot you were going. Awesome. Did you have a good time?
The producers, the writers, the cast, everybody's up on the stage. And there's a moderator that's up there asking questions and stuff. And then they carry the microphone around just like we do at our breakfast to the audience. And it's just a great night.
Wow. It's very interesting stuff if you're a TV fan.
Yeah.
Did you stand up and embarrass yourself at all, Kevin? Or embarrass us or America?
I did not, no.
That would have been great.
I figured I was the least qualified, so.
Yeah. Right.
Michael Jackson's planning his comeback.
Yes.
I told you he was in talks with several of the Vegas casinos to perform there. But we'd also heard that he was planning a reunion show with all the other Jackson family members.
Jackson, however many.
Yeah. Well, turns out we get the best of both worlds. According to London's Daily Mail newspaper, the Jacksons are in conversations with several Vegas casinos to play 250 concerts in Vegas over the next 3 years.
Oh, my God.
It'll be the entire Jackson clan performing together. The paper says that more U.S. concert dates will also take place, but the home will be in Vegas. However, Michael has bigger plans than just that. He would like to develop a Michael Jackson theme park, casino, and hotel in Las Vegas.
Of course he would.
Okay.
I wonder what the theme will be.
I can tell you, a lot of kids will be allowed in there. A lot of game rooms, a lot of video games, a lot of ball rooms.
What age he's looking for there.
Yeah. Guys, Michael Jackson, very fragile, as you know. I can't imagine him committing to and sticking to a concert schedule of 20 shows, much less 250.
But if they all take place in the same city, it would be easier for him. He wouldn't have to travel.
And if there's a theme park with kids there.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
Oh, we do already. All right.
We have a winner already?
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones, shall we?
All right. Let's go to Sean, who is calling from Montebello. Wait, hold on, Sean. I'm sorry. I had somebody else first. Alex, hello.
Sorry.
I apologize.
Yeah. Alex,
are you not at the rehearsals, no, Kevin? You don't come to the rehearsals.
Wow.
I forgot.
We just minutes ago, we said it would be funny if Alex was on the phone because she loves Wentworth Miller.
Do you think it's not
I'm
as funny now?
No.
Yeah. See,
here's
it's not what funny now.
No,
not
here's, really. Sorry, Alex.
Thanks for trying, Alex.
But here's what happened. I was playing Rodney. We have a winner because we were talking about a theme park for children. See, I was going a different way. And then
I see the obvious connection there.
I even set it up by saying the theme park with a bunch of kids there. So
then once you said that and we
have
went
an
to
ongoing
the phones,
contest.
Oh, man, what does that have to do with you going to the wrong call?
No, but then
you move on.
Hold on. So then immediately you guys said, "Oh, let's talk to him." And then I was like, "Well, wait a minute. I wasn't even talking about that." So then I was shocked.
Then you went to the phone.
I was surprised.
And you thought to yourself, "Oh, I remember Ralph said let's go to Alex first. That would be funny."
And you just hung up on me too.
Oh, I know. You can't win.
The joke was over.
No, but
Kevin, God damn it.
No,
Todd.
You can't go.
In Los Angeles. Sorry. Hello.
Hello.
Todd, what famous serial killer was housed in the cell they shot a lot of the scenes for Prison Break?
That would be John Wayne Gacy.
Indeed. Speaking of creepy guys with kids.
No kidding.
Michael Jackson's going to start dressing as a clown, doing kids' parties, I'm sure.
Man. I wouldn't be surprised.
Todd, hold on. We'll give you all the details. You want a pair of tickets to go spend the evening with the Prison Break gang.
Oh, sweet.
Same with Sean in Montebello.
And Alex,
who I went to first.
And Alex, not so much.
Not so much. She can't go.
Britney Spears and Kevin Federline might call off their divorce.
Yes.
According to Star Magazine, Britney's struggles with addiction and rehab and shaving off her hair and piercing her important parts made Kevin realize how much he loved her.
That's great.
And apparently she feels the same, so they're talking about calling off their divorce and trying to make another go of it.
We need to start a pool of how long that's going to last if it happens, if they get back
together. It's funny because when she left him, we all thought, oh, thank God she's getting away from that bad influence. It's the best thing she could do. God bless her. And now she's so much worse than he is that he does look like a stable, stay-at-home dad.
No, please.
Maybe the whole thing was a ruse on her part just to try to get him back. You know, look how pathetic I am without you. I can't live without you kind of thing.
We're talking about K-Fed here.
I know.
All right.
He's new and improved. He would have gone to the right line.
He probably would have. That's true.
And lastly, he has sold 210 million comic books all over the world. He's been sold in 75 countries. But yesterday, Captain America was killed in the Marvel Comics yesterday. It was a big story all over the place because he's been around for 66 years. He's been one of the longest-running superheroes in the history of comic books. So Captain America no longer around. In fact, I heard our K-Rock microphones were there yesterday when he was shot on the courthouse steps.
Oh. Is that right, Captain America?
Yeah. Wow.
Captain?
We get around, don't we?
Well, those mics are everywhere. They really are. So rest in peace, Cap. Today's celebrity birthdays, Cameron Manheim from The Practice is 46 years old today. Kathy Ireland, model and actress.
Oh.
Dave said, remember she was in Unnecessary Roughness?
What was that?
The football movie. Scott Bakula.
Wow.
She was the kicker.
And Sinbad,
that's right. 44 years old today. Freddie Prinze Jr., of course, from Scooby-Doo and his own short-lived sitcom, Freddie. He's 31 years old today. And James Van Der Beek, who used to be Dawson, now he's... not so much anymore.
No.
He's 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Our friend Harvey the Hammer Levin from TMZ.com on the line talking about everything that's going on in show business. Hey, Harvey, did you hear about the international superstar celebrity that I sat next to on an airplane the other day?
Oh, my God. I loved that story. Yeah. Buzz, that's hilarious.
Buzz Aldrin.
But what can I, but being honestly, what a wuss.
Really? Do you think I blew it? Do you think I should have
totally
said something?
Blew it.
Harvey, please listen to me. Bean drives everyone crazy. This is the first positive step I've ever seen in Bean's life.
I don't think it's a positive step.
Oh, Harvey.
Say hi to the guy.
I am still kicking my own ass for not taking advantage of talking to one of my heroes about being on the freaking moon. I mean, I'm never going to get...
The great line was, you know, we could put a man on the moon.
Can't
get
that
was a good line.
Yeah, but then he probably would have beat me up, you know, like he does all the time. Like anyway, it's 10 after 7. It's Thursday morning. Harvey is the busiest man in Hollywood. He's got so much going on with so many great stories. Where do you want to start, Harvey? What are you loving right now?
Well, you know, we've got a lot of stuff going on with this Anna Nicole story.
It has more legs than most stories about people that are still alive.
Yep.
Somehow it just keeps developing and developing, and it's something new every single day.
Well, and I'll tell you, I don't want to say exactly, but we're going to be doing a story this morning about exactly what happened with these 911 calls and who was in the room and who wasn't in the room, and it's really interesting.
Have they released the 911 calls?
No.
Okay.
No, but we've got some information, and it's just, you know, piecing this all together is really interesting because it just, there's something weird about it that the call, you know, when she died, I think is really important, and who knew she was dead and what did they do when they knew it is really interesting.
Well, I heard in one interview with the bodyguard, I guess, who was not with Anna at the time, that the bodyguard, before calling 911, bodyguard heard from the nurse, is this right? And then the bodyguard, instead of calling 911, called Howard? Is that your understanding?
We're gonna put this up on the website, but that's not exactly what happened. The nurse, who's not exactly a nurse, is actually the bodyguard's wife. And she's the one who found out that there was trouble. We're going to put this all up on the website.
Okay.
I don't
want
to give too much away right now.
Yeah, you'll put a timeline up so we'll understand what happened.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
What did you think, Harvey, in all the years that you've been in the media and following entertainment, what did you think of the circus that was the Anna Nicole Smith funeral? Have you ever seen anything more bizarre with Slash showing up, and wasn't Bill Cosby there, and then you got the mom sitting by herself and throwing all the dirt on the coffin? It was bizarre, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, as bizarre as that was, all they needed was signage that said, "This funeral brought to you by Entertainment Tonight."
Yeah,
but let me tell you something. There was a lot of jack changing hands on that one.
How much jack?
I know, and I can't say, but there was jack.
All right, push the number 2 on your phone if it's $4 million. That's what I heard.
No.
Okay,
no.
All right then.
No,
that was
less,
me. I'm just kidding.
Less,
okay. But he paid, but Howard K. Stern's the one that got the money, right?
Well, not exactly, but sort of.
What is the update
he
on...
He is vague, man.
I'm not allowed to say exactly what I know. I mean, there are certain people who are telling me things that I know that absolutely is true, but there are so many alliances here and secrets here. I can just tell you that, you know, this came at a price.
Okay,
but what? I'm confused, because didn't we hear for a fact that, like, Entertainment Tonight paid $4 million to Howard to...
That's what we heard, and the Insider, for exclusive rights.
But now Harvey's saying that's not true.
Well, no, I'm saying that there are two stories going around. One is what Howard K. Stern got, and the other is what E.T. paid to get inside the funeral, and who they paid, and those are two different things.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
I see.
Okay.
Let me ask you one more Anna question, and that is, are we moving at all forward on DNA or whatever we're going to be doing with Dani Lynn to determine where she's going to end up, or is that a done deal now because Howard's name's on the birth certificate and she's Bahamian?
Not a done deal, and, you know, Howard just hates me for the stories that we've been doing.
Right.
But I can just tell you that what I know is that the discussions center around money right now, and Howard wants some financial involvement in all of this.
Really? That's a surprise.
Money is being talked about. And I think, frankly, and this is just my opinion, this kid is being used as a pawn.
Of course.
And this is all about an exit strategy in terms of money.
I think that's absolutely the truth. It's been the truth from the beginning. And the fact that Howard K. Stern hates you makes me like you.
Yeah, you know? they are not happy with me. I mean,
fantastic.
We found out yesterday that Mo, the bodyguard, actually the police paid a call to him because Mo is a critical person in this because he was around Anna for a long time, and Mo told the police yesterday that basically Howard kept Anna in a cloud of drugs for 2 months before her death, that he was basically administering drugs for her, giving her drugs. He didn't know which drugs, but wow. She was in a cloud. The day she died, he says she was just hyped up on prescription medication and on cold medicine, and unclear what killed her. But, you know, this woman was not in her right mind for a long time.
Howard's like, here, drink this. Take these. whatever they are. Here, take this. I don't know what it is. Just drink it.
Hey, I never heard this, Harvey. Two quick follow-ups, and then we got something we got to pitch to you here. Was she wearing the clown makeup when Anna Nicole died? You know that.
I'm guessing not.
Okay. And secondly, when are we going to get the autopsy results? It seems like it should be getting close now.
You mean the toxicology? That should
toxicology, yeah.
Any day.
Any day now. Okay. Yep. Harvey the Hammer Levin is on the phone with us right now. Of course, TMZ.com, entertainment site of record for all the late-breaking news. And this isn't one of those sites, by the way, you go to once and then you check it again tomorrow. I mean, there's new stuff up there every single hour, so stay in touch. Harvey, what's the latest on the TV show? What are you hearing about that? Last I heard, you were cleared in over 60% of the nation.
Oh, our TMZ TV?
Mm-hmm. TMZ TV, yeah.
87%.
Look 87%. At that.
Wow. 87%.
Wow. And Psycho Mike is still your host? That's still the plan?
Oh, that's where you're going.
Well, here's what we thought we'd do, Harvey, is maybe a little live audition.
Okay.
So Psycho Mike could be your host. And
I mean, he's you've met him. He's a good-looking kid. I mean,
well,
he's certainly...
I met him with a megaphone when he walked
into
my office.
Well, right, but he's going to do a better job than Mark McGrath over at Extra. I mean, if you're going to go that route, if you're just going to go dumb and hunky, go with a guy like Psycho Mike is what we're saying.
I'll listen.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, you got something prepared for Harvey?
I do. I have three stories. Here we go, Harvey.
TMZTV.com is on the air.
Too angry already. Too angry.
That was me, dude.
No.
That was me, Kevin. Okay. Here's Mike.
Jeez.
Effer.
Former jilted American Idol contestant Frenchie Stewart isn't the only one upset at the response to Anatella Barbara's internet exhibitionism.
It's too reedy.
Listen up, Harvey. Let me finish. Sources close to the AI set tell TMZ that current female contestants believe that Barbara's risque photos have given her an unfair advantage. Entertainment reporters the world over also express their jealousy for the rugged good looks and chiseled profile of TMZ's own Hebrew hunk, Harvey Levin.
There you go.
Okay.
Nice.
I'm liking it more.
That's what we thought.
Audition one. Okay.
Story number two.
Number two.
More controversy is erupting from the death of Anna Nicole Smith. TMZ is reporting that Seminole police visited the house of a former Anna Nicole bodyguard this morning. Detectives are hoping to clear up some inconsistencies surrounding the security video from the night of Anna's death. Unfortunately, Florida detectives were incapable of developing leads because they were too consumed by how unbelievably young Harvey Levin looks. He must have the fountain of youth, one officer was quoted. No, seriously, is this guy aging backwards?
Okay, that's two.
And one finally, final story. Lindsay Lohan may have cut back on her drinking and general partying since her stint in rehab last month, but it seems very little has changed in her professional life. In a related story, Harvey Levin is hung like a buffalo. He is packing serious kosher beef in his sleek designer trousers. How can someone so intelligent also have such gifted gonads?
Well, I think that's the way Hollywood auditions have been going on for a century now.
Okay, you got the job.
That's
whatever.
How you're supposed to do it, right?
All right.
Excellent.
Well done, Mike. Thank you, Harvey. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye now. All right, it's 22 minutes after 7 o'clock. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. This movie looks freaking awesome. We're talking about 300. We were giving tickets to the premiere a little while back, and now we have Gerard Butler on the line. Good morning, Gerard.
Hey, how are you?
Very good, thank you.
Hey, we're doing great, man. We have been hearing from many, many fans of yours and of the movie this week that have already seen it, that are just raving about it. You got to be so happy to see the reaction it's getting so far.
Yeah. You know what? It's really been amazing and unusual for me. You know, I'm used to people getting excited, and then you get a call going, you know what? Nah, it's not that good. It's just got better and better, and the reaction from everybody, you know, guys, girls, older, younger, has been amazing. I mean, this film, if I do say so myself, you'll never forget it.
How did you get hooked up with this project?
I was in Warner Brothers. It was just after Phantom, and one of the execs here said, "Hey, man, have you heard about this thing we're doing called 300? And it's weird, you know? I don't know if it was a sixth sense or something, but just the title 300, there's something so strong about that, just a number.
Right.
It's almost like I knew what it was. And then when he explained it to me, and that it was Frank Miller, I was excited. Read the script, which was awesome. Read the graphic novel, which was... I'd never come across this kind of narrative before, you know, with heroes that were just so tough and
right,
unapologetic and brutal. And yet, with the film, we... perhaps soften it up slightly.
Wow.
Bring in the female. Yeah. Softer than the comic book, trust me. That was maybe just a little too masculine. I would love to have gone that way. You know, at the start of the film, the captain almost kills one of his troops, and the king almost kills the captain for one of his troops, and then makes the captain, or the troop carry the captain for falling into this place. So we're already knowing that we're dealing with some dark dudes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's a tough bunch of guys. You know, I always love to ask actors this, Gerard, and that is when you put yourself in the mindset of a guy who's living, you know, 500 years before Christ, is that part of what you think about as, all right, I am no longer a modern man? Do you find that you have to shed a lot of the things that you know from living in the 21st century to authentically play a character this far back in history?
Absolutely. And there are only very few moments, perhaps in humorous moments, when you try to let that modernism slip in. You know, there's a moment here where he says he's gonna kill all our women, and I'm like, clearly you don't know our women. And I think the humor in that is something, because that it extends through time. You know, the same human problems, the same human issues. But for me, getting rid of every kind of modern feel or movement is what strikes that chord with a kind of epic historical character. You know, you always imagine that in these warriors there was a stillness and a strength, and it was all kind of sucked in, and there was just like, you know, coiled and waiting to pounce, and that's what I was really going for with this guy. Just this,
yeah, because guys back then were just 100% macho. There wasn't any kind of softening or any kind of compromise or feminism or political correctness. I mean, they just did what they wanted to do.
Pretty much. And, you know, people say that in this film, these guys are pretty masculine. But when you think what the Spartans actually did, you know, their shin pad, their armor was made of copper and metal, which was just banged with hammers. And they would walk for days with this stuff. And it must have cut the hell out of them just walking, never mind going into battle. And you know, when you're doing sword fighting, it's like a round of boxing, you know, a couple of minutes and you're exhausted.
Right.
And these guys for 7 days, you know.
Oh.
I mean, can you imagine it? And with that adrenaline going through your body, it defies explanation, if you ask me.
Tell people who are not familiar with the story, the Frank Miller story of the original battle, tell people kind of a really quick summary of what the battle is about, why you're fighting.
Well, basically, this sets up the Spartans, which I don't know if people know just how respected in those days the Spartans were. You know, that the Romans always praised them and saw them as their brothers. And here was the one chance in history they had to define themselves and show them. When the Persians wanted to take over their land, basically, and Leonidas took a force of 300 of his best soldiers to fight an army of a million at the coast of Greece and held them off for quite a few days. And it was one of the, you know, it's seen as one of the most impressive battles ever, and perhaps the one that saved democracy, because at that time it was starting off in Greece. He inspired the rest of Greece to, you know, to unite and raise an army that finally beat off the Persians, who were way, way more huge than all of Greece at that time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We are speaking with King Leonidas on the phone right now, actor Gerard Butler from the film The 300 that opens up everywhere tomorrow. Gerard, this is Bean speaking. I have a similar physique to yours. I mean, I know how I get my body to look like that, but what did you have to go through to get this in this kind of shape for the film?
Oh, the same as you. A lot of ice cream.
That's it. That's right. You know me.
No, it was a lot of misery, basically. I went from... I overdid it. After about 2 months, things started kind of giving way, as it was explained to me. Your body would take that kind of intensity of training. You know, I've trained heavily for things before, but that was a couple of hours a day. I was doing 6 hours a day on this. I took on my own trainer separately whilst training with the film trainer, whilst doing camp. I also was training with all the stunt guys and having to learn a completely new form of sword fighting and work with spears. And then I pumped on set the whole film.
You were lifting the whole 10, time.
15 times a day.
Unbelievable. Man, that might be too much. But if anybody wants to sword fight, you could kick their ass.
That's the problem. I can't kick anybody's ass if they're a sword.
Damn.
I don't always have one handy when I get in trouble.
Okay. Well, like we said, we've heard nothing but rave reviews, not just from the critics who have seen it, but from our listeners who have already gone. And we gave away a bunch of tickets to premiere earlier this week. This looks like the first must-see film of 2007. It's called 300, opens up everywhere tomorrow. Gerard Butler has been our guest. We really enjoyed it, man. I hope we get a chance to do it again one time.
Yeah. Definitely. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. We're looking forward
to
the movie.
Bye-bye.
Right now it's time for the Afro line. 323-520-AFRO is the phone number, 24 hours a day. If you see a hot chick, this is the line to call.
Dude, hot chick alert. Right on my street, looks like a new neighbor. I'm going to go bazoongas. Oh, that's my sister. Anna.
I don't even know what that was about. This person is clearly happy with the performance of everyone on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Kevin sucks. Bean sucks. Psycho Mike sucks in a kind of manly gay way. Lightning sucks in a very gay way. DJ Omar Kwan sucks in a very lightning way. Yeah. Lisa sucks, but in a good way. And Ralph Ewell.
There you go.
Okay.
Well, that hardly seems fair, but okay.
Taking sides.
Psycho Mike is on the show. He's really gay.
Wow, Tom DeLonge calling.
Yeah.
How about that? How about that? How about that? Here's a Bean fan. Don't find these very often. Got to put them on the air.
I love Bean. Bean loves me. Even though he lost his dream when Pluto lost its validity, me and Bean will live happily.
Very, very troubled.
I think I'm in love.
Clearly troubled.
Hi, I'm Aaron DeCosta, and you're listening to Kevin and Bean on the World.
Adam?
Cal? Mohinder?
And it grows. Nobody even knows why we did that originally, but it doesn't matter anymore. Dewan. Aww.
Dewan.
I'm not sure what city he's calling from, though.
What's up, Kevin and Bean? It's Dewan from Los Angeles, California.
Oh.
Guys, give me a quick favor.
Okay.
Will you please, 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 please get me that Music and Lyrics poster so I can hang it on my closet door? I really got to have one. All right? Later.
In case you wonder, Dewan is Drew Barrymore's number one fan, and he loves her in Music and Lyrics. In case you're wondering what Dewan does when he's not calling the Afro line, it's text me, and I've received a dozen texts from Dewan today,
really?
Many of which are, I really want that Music and Lyrics poster so I can put it on my closet door.
I don't even know how we would go about getting that, but I suppose we could go out and steal one if there are any still up.
All right, let's do it.
I mean, that's the way we get stuff. So Dewan has the thumbs of fire texting Bean, but he also calls the Afro line quite often.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, what's up? This is Dewan from Los Angeles, California. You guys need some flavor in your ears.
Okay.
You too, Lisa May.
Yes, you do.
And also Drew Barrymore. She needs flavor in her ear.
Okay.
Here comes the brand new flavor in your ear. talk about flavor in your ear.
Come on. That's a performance.
That's, yeah. Good work.
I don't know what he was smoking before this call.
Hey, what's up, guys? Code everybody. This is Count Blackula from Transylvania, Europe. 90,000 years old now. Just calling to say, what's up, guys? And I just want to trick you guys. All right, I should go back to my palace. My castle. Later.
Listen to that. Is that guy drunk or what?
Here's what I like. He's 90,000 years old. He's just calling us to say, hey, what's up? That's his whole message. I like that.
Look, I know we talked to Harvey the Hammer Levin from TMZ.com a few minutes ago, and we talked about a bunch of Anna Nicole Smith stuff. And I know some of you may be getting tired of the nonstop coverage of the nonstop coverage, but there is a new wrinkle in the case that is so unbelievably shocking that you have to stick around and hear about it after the news here on K-Rock. Would you guys agree with me? It's one of the most bizarre turns you could ever imagine this case taking.
Absolutely. Yeah,
I saw it coming a mile away.
Did you really?
Yeah, absolutely. Just waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Well, if you haven't heard what's next, who might be the father of the baby now, you'll want to stick around just after the news. We'll tell you here on the world-famous K-Rock and all the other showbiz news right now with our pal Ralph Garvin. Good morning, Ralph.
I've got some added news, too. But first, I'd like to get to the fact that Rosie O'Donnell's suffering from depression.
Oh, that's such good news.
She revealed yesterday that she's been battling depression for about 8 years now. It struck her right after the Columbine shooting incident.
What?
In Colorado. She said that she felt on that day that if it had happened to her own children.
Okay, but it didn't, right? She knows that.
Only Rosie O'Donnell could take a tragedy like of that magnitude and try to somehow make it about her.
Turn it around about her.
So for the past 8 years, she's been battling depression, she claims. She has to do. She has to take treatments of phototherapy where they expose her to light because apparently on cloudy days it's worse.
Mm-hmm.
And for about a half an hour to 45 minutes a day, she hangs upside down. That's how she treats herself.
What could hold her?
She had a girder installed in her home with steel shoes welded to it.
She really hangs upside down?
That's what she claims.
I've never heard of that.
Is she a vampire? Well, she's a bat. I know that much.
What in God's name is going on with
her? I don't know how you invert something of that size. You'd be like hanging the Queen Mary upside down. The team of specialists it must take just to get her upside down must be an enormous task.
It does answer a question I've always had, which is why doesn't she spend any time battling her weight? Now we know it's because she's too busy battling depression.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes you get sad, you eat.
You got to eat.
That's right.
Fat.
Right, exactly.
Yesterday, Marvel Comics released a comic book that featured the death of one of the most popular and longest-running superheroes in popular culture. Captain America was killed off yesterday.
I'm not a big comic fan. When was the last time a major comic book character was killed off?
They killed Superman a couple years ago, but then they brought him back shortly thereafter.
It was a bogus killing.
It was kind of a faux spike in the sales trying to get people interested.
But this dude's gone?
That's what they claim.
Yeah, but Malt Man is still alive, right?
Thank God, yes. The Human Furnace, still with us. Sharp Man, you know, the Wave.
But Captain America.
The Captain America is gone. Apparently, he was, the storyline was he was being arrested by the government because there's sort of like a Patriot Act thing going on with superheroes now.
Okay.
Where you have to reveal your secret identity and register with the government. You can't just run around fighting crime.
Sure, they want to know who you are.
Exactly.
Of
course. So he was arrested and he was entering a courthouse. And apparently he was shot on the steps of the courthouse, shot dead.
Ah.
So we've lost Captain America. He had been around for 66 years.
Well, he had a good run.
He did have a good run. Yeah. I believe, in fact, the camera microphones were covering the trial of Captain America, and they were on the steps when it happened.
Captain?
They were right there.
Who is that guy that always seems to be around?
I don't know. I think police should talk to him about all the deaths. Yeah. Quite frankly, he always seems to be right near someone
when
they go. We've lost Anna that way. Poor Cal.
Yeah,
he's
Cal.
Gone.
Yep. Hi, I'm Anna Nicole Smith, and you're listening to Kevin and Bean on the World.
Anna.
See, that dude's scary. He's bad news.
It's the same dude every time.
No.
He's Siler or something. I don't know what's going on.
He is eating brains. At Antonella Barba, you know the girl we've all seen her revealing pictures on the internet. She's a contestant on American Idol. Joe Francis has stepped up. He, of course, the entrepreneur behind Girls Gone Wild.
Sure.
He has said that if she gets kicked off the show, he'll give her a job.
Fantastic.
Great.
It's a perfect matchup, isn't it? He says he will pay her $250,000 to appear on a tape that features girls showing their cans. Remember when Snoop Dogg did that for him?
Oh, that's right. I do. Dogg's Gone Wild, yeah.
She will be hosting it as well. And
but not showing them.
Apparently, she doesn't have to show her boobs to get the gig, yeah.
Huh. I want to see her boobs, though. He needs to offer her more.
More than $250,000?
Yeah, yes. Seems like
that's
a lot.
Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to get her boobs.
You know, I saw on one of the shows the other night, your dad, Hugh Hefner, was on, and somebody showed him the pictures of Antonella Barber from the internet and said, would you consider putting her in Playboy when she's off American Idol? And he said, absolutely. Yeah. So sure. I hope that's what happens, and I hope she gets booted off tonight.
He's had a lot worse looking, a lot lesser celebrities in the magazine over the years. So yeah, I think she's definitely...
She's bad, though, right? I mean, she's going to get kicked off soon?
She's a horrible singer. Yeah.
Not a good singer, yeah.
He really is. Last night, my wife was watching. I always watched to see her perform because the whole boob factor.
Right. Sure.
Yeah. And Simon Cowell afterwards says, I like you. I just wish you could sing better. I was like, that's funny. That's how we all feel. We'd all like to see you stick around, but you're just too bad. We can't justify keeping you on the show anymore.
Boobs.
Except for the boobs. Speaking of American Idol, the producer, Nigel Lithgow, took issue with Rosie O'Donnell yesterday. Remember I told you that Rosie O'Donnell thought the show was racist and waitist?
Oh, God. I hate her.
The producer said, once again, Ms. O'Donnell has spoken without thought or knowledge. Viewers need only to look at the show to realize American Idol constantly confirms to America that talent has nothing to do with weight or color. And to their credit, they do put on all shapes and sizes.
It's true, yeah.
On there, so I don't know what she was talking about. Maybe it was a cloudy day and she was depressed and she hadn't spent enough time hanging upside down.
She needs to just, somebody needs to just sew that pie hole shut once and for all.
She is relentless. I only watch little clips they show on the internet of her on The View, but I can't imagine anyone watching an entire episode of that show.
On purpose.
40 seconds. And I'm like, wow, it's nails on a chalkboard with her. It's just grating.
I saw Star Jones Reynolds on the TV yesterday. Ralph, have you seen her lately? I know you have long said that she used to be so fat, all you could concentrate on was how fat she is. But now that she's lost all the weight, she is such a deeply unattractive woman.
Yeah.
She looks like an alien. Profoundly ugly. Yeah, she does profoundly ugly. I mean, you look at her and you just go, no way. How did I never notice how ugly she was before?
At least before we focused on the back fat.
Yeah.
She's got these giant bug eyes and this wide mouth bass looking face going on. It's just, it's horrific.
Just creepy. I mean, that's just the most evil trade in history, going from Star Jones to Rosie O'Donnell. My God.
Captain America's gone and those two are still alive.
Isn't that the truth?
You know?
There's no justice. And finally, I have some late breaking out of Nicole Smith news. The nice thing about doing this show and having a certain number of people listen to us is that a lot of people in the entertainment industry get inside scoop and drop us lines from time to time. Here's an email from Daniel in Covina, California. Ralph, I don't know if you heard about the news story surrounding the Anna Nicole Smith fiasco. Allegedly, the contents of Anna Nicole's will have been leaked, and there are some rather interesting findings.
Ah.
It's her will that stipulates that in the event of her death, she wanted to go out in style and basically be in the limelight even from her grave. She made special requests within the will to have Howard K. Stern and other members of her family create a flurry of media attention so that she would always be remembered. As a result, the media has recently got a hold of the story and questioned Anna's family and members at the funeral, and it was indeed true. They created an artificial debate regarding where to bury her, the crying judge, the identity of the baby's father, all of it manufactured. So a reporter asked them, how do you explain the notion that all this emotion and mourning for Anna is an act? To which they truthfully replied, Anna made us.
Yes! See what they did? See?
Wow.
Think the whole thing was made up because Anna made us.
That isn't good for you.
Anna made us. Oh, animators.
Sorry, animators.
A lot of people in the audience look pissed.
Go.
Woo! Oh, that was
I could tell it felt good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's like when you're driving home and you're getting closer to your house, and for some reason you got to pee more and more the closer you get to your house. I don't know what that biology is, but you're getting closer. Oh, I had to go, and you run in the house. And you finally get the bathroom. You're like, oh.
Have you been holding that email for a while?
No, I just got it, but still, I've been waiting to... Waiting to finally release. You know what I'm saying?
Captain?
Got nothing.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthday is James Van Der Beek. You knew him as Dawson. You loved him as Dawson. And now you say, who? He's 30 years old today. Freddie Prinze Jr. who was not only star of his own sitcom there for a while, but was in all the Scooby-Doo movies.
Sure.
And is also, is he still married to
Honey McBuffy? Yep.
Boobs.
He's 31 years old today. Kathy Ireland, supermodel and actress, is 44 years old today. And Cameron Manheim. From The Practice, she's 46 years old today. What if she ever gets upside down? I'd like to see her hanging upside down too. See what kind of effect gravity has on that
landmass.
Lady. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, the Anna Nicole Smith story is one that has just been growing, and every day there's a new twist, a new somebody else says they're the father, and then the mother's shoveling dirt like crazy, and then the Entertainment Tonight pays millions, and Howard Kaiser. There's something new on this story every single day.
I thought when Zsa Zsa Gabor's husband came out and said he might be the father, I thought that was as freakish as it could get, until yesterday's news that the father could
don't
be
say who it is yet. Don't say who it is yet. We got
the
a
guy
lot,
that's on the phone.
We got a lot of emails from K-Rock listeners sending us this story. It was reported originally on a website called digitalspy.com. And there is somebody else throwing their hat into the ring as the father of Anna Nicole's baby. Ladies and gentlemen, O.J. Simpson.
How you doing, Kevin and Bean?
What?
Oh, Jerry,
great to
come
talk
on.
To you again.
We got this email from 100 listeners.
Well, that's great. It's great to know the people are still thinking about me.
But OJ, it's absurd. It's crazy. I mean, we haven't seen you with Anna Nicole Smith in years, right?
I didn't see Anna Nicole Smith with the Bahamian tourist minister either.
Well, true.
But it doesn't mean they weren't, banging.
Now, you did a movie with her. You did Naked Gun 33 and a Third.
That's right. We were in that film together. And it's a great, great, funny movie.
And at the time, you were allegedly having sex with her.
Well, allegedly. I was splitting her like a pair of eights. I was driving her like a three-penny nail.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Driving her like a rental car.
Right, we got that right.
Rough,
but
rough. I was rough with her.
Right.
Okay, but is
I
there...
I take turns hard. I'd drop her over curbs and whatnot.
What?
Sure.
I don't know. I drive a rental car.
Rental car, right.
But stay with me, man.
Oh, sorry.
Stay with me. I'm trying to... I'm the juice.
You are the juice. You are the juice, right. Is there anybody that you've ever heard of that didn't have sex with Anna Nicole Smith?
Not to my knowledge, no. Everyone I know had sex with her at some time.
Now, this guy, Norman Pardo, who has been filming a documentary of you for 5 years, he's the guy that you told you might be the father of her baby.
Well, yeah, we were filming and he said, you knew her? I said, yeah, I might be the father of the baby.
But you're not, though, right? I mean, that's just your way to kind of get your name back out there in the press, get people talking about you again because she's getting all the headlines and you're not?
The last thing I want is my name in the press, man. Yeah. The white press is always coming down on OJ.
Yeah.
I don't need that kind of attention. I believe it's a possibility that I might be the father.
So you say, I hope they don't do a DNA test on Anna Nicole's baby. If they find out Danny Lynn is mine, I don't want Fred Goldman trying to seize her money or the baby herself.
That's right. He's relentless. He won't give up.
Well, you haven't given him a penny, and he did win a $33 million settlement.
Look, I'm the juice.
Right.
I don't have any money.
What happened?
I'm barely making any money just to survive.
Right. I know your pension is like $380,000 a year. I know they can't touch that, but you are making a decent amount of money.
No, that's just not right.
It isn't.
No.
Okay.
As far as you know.
tell us about Anna Nicole Smith. You spent a great deal of time with her. Was she as stupid in private as she was in public?
She was a very warm, loving woman before the drugs.
Right.
But then she started doing drugs with Pedro Guerrero.
Oh, no kidding. I didn't know that. Right.
I told Norman Pardo the other day that she was doing drugs with Pedro Guerrero.
Right.
Uh-huh. That's when she started going downhill.
I see. Sure, I understand.
But I feel the more people talk about Anna Nicole Smith, the less people are talking about me.
I see.
Okay, until now, right.
Right, so I had two choices. Come forward and say I could be the baby's father or kill her. in order to get my name back in the press. And she's already dead, so I don't have no choice, really.
It has to really piss you off when an attractive blonde white woman dies and you didn't get to have anything to do with it.
I know, because that's my thing, you know? That's my specialty. Everybody has a gift. I kill white women.
Okay.
And they're hard to come by.
So just recapping then, you just made this up. There's not a possibility that it really is your baby.
Or did I?
Well, that's what I'm asking. Did you have sex with her in the last, 9 months before the baby was born?
Did I?
That's what we're asking.
Or did I?
Right. That's what we're asking.
Makes you think, don't it?
Right, but did you is the question. You answer it.
Nah.
You didn't have sex with it.
Okay. No.
You just want to get
but
your name
if
up.
You did it. But if you did it.
If I did it, my new book. If I did have sex with Anna Nicole Smith, then the baby would have a better tan than it has now.
That's correct. Right. Thank you.
This is Bean speaking, and I was down in Southern California. Some people may not realize I don't live there. I live in Seattle, Washington.
What?
I was down in Southern California for Breakfast with Corn on Tuesday. And again, we had a great time. Thanks to everybody who came out for that. And flying home to Seattle, who sits next to me on my flight but one of my all-time heroes, a man that I have admired since I was a boy, a man that if I had sat down and made a list of the five people in the world that I would want to have sitting next to me on a plane and have the chance to talk to and pick his brain for 2 hours, this guy would have come to mind.
I don't think I would have recognized him.
For real?
I know his accomplishment because you told the story yesterday. I understand how important what he did was, but I don't think I would.
The man is Buzz Aldrin, Colonel Buzz Aldrin from the Apollo 11 mission. He was the second man on the moon. He's the guy that landed the lunar module onto the surface of the moon in 1969 and, was a famous astronaut. And since then, I mean, he's just become a part of history. There's so much you could talk to this guy about him. He's the guy that they based Buzz Lightyear on, for God's sakes,
from
the Toy Story movies. He's the model for the MTV Moon Man, the award that they give out at their award shows. I mean, the guy has done it all. At 72 years old, he kicked the crap out of a 30-something-year-old guy for challenging whether the moon landing was real. At 72, he decked the guy.
The guy was saying it was fake. Oh, it was fake. It was just a soundstage.
Can you imagine?
The guy actually walked on the moon. I have very few idols that are in line with Bean's idols. Mm-hmm. I really don't. But a guy who walked on the moon, you got to give it up for that. There's not a lot of them around.
No, there are too many of those. And as I'm sitting there thinking, all the things that I want to talk to him about, and for God's sakes, I mean, I'm a space geek, as you know. I mean, I could have talked to him about, Pluto. I could have talked to him about the astronaut diaper story. I would have loved to have gotten his perspective on that crazy woman in Texas.
Dude, are you wearing diapers? That kind of thing?
I know. There were so many things I really wanted to talk to the man about. And in the end, much to the shock and amazement of Kevin and the others on the Kevin and Bean Show, I decided to say nothing.
Which is a major, major healthy step forward for our man, Bean.
I totally agree.
Yes, because you're the guy who says all the things that you shouldn't say. And most of the time it's funny, but off the air, I mean, let's be honest. Bean is torturous.
Yes.
Talking to Bean is torturous. It's like talking to Doc.
Let's not insult me here.
I used to think that he was, super intelligent, had a lot of interest. There's nothing he's not interested in. There's no line under which he's not interested.
And there's no fact he's read that he doesn't think is good enough to tell us.
Wow, this is great.
About.
Let me tell you this, and he'll tell you. That's why we did Thanks for That Info, Bean, over and over. So the fact that he didn't talk to him was great. But you have to imagine that there are a lot of people, especially in this city, where you see actual celebrities around all the time. You met your hero. And you couldn't keep your mouth shut. You had to say something or do something, and it turned out poorly. That's what we're looking for, 1-800-520-1067. You met your heroes, and it went south quickly.
Yeah, we're not talking about just you ran into some celebrity that you're familiar with, some person that you know that you've seen on TV that's interesting. We're talking about somebody that was a huge deal for you to meet. Maybe you maybe you stood in line for an in-store, to meet Dave Matthews or somebody, and he was a dick to you. whatever it is, you wish in retrospect you hadn't said anything. And this is what I was thinking when I left.
Dave Matthews is too high to be a dick, by the way. Back to you.
Yeah, you're right about that. This is what I was thinking, too, as I left the plane, without even saying hello to Mr. Aldrin. I was thinking, I may have missed out on an opportunity to have a conversation that I would remember for the rest of my life because this guy is such a fascinating guy and has done so much and such fascinating life.
But you would have annoyed him.
But on the other hand, what if I would have tried to talk to him and he would have said, if he would have decked me, what if he would have hit me,
That would be even better.
Or what if he just would have said, look, I don't want to talk to anybody right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What if he'd been mean, and then it would have blurred the image that I have of him as an American hero.
Omar is in the studio now, and he met his hero. I don't understand this. I mean, I can look at Bean's hero and say he walked on the moon, for God's sake.
Right.
For some reason, Omar idolized Tim Allen, and that's odd to me.
Yeah.
But you had a chance to meet him.
I did. We're at the SC3 world premiere.
Santa Claus 3.
Yeah. Right. For you guys that don't know.
Sure.
And
those of you who aren't in the Tim Allen fan club don't know that.
Yeah, so I walk up to him. I'm like, dude, you know, I try to say, you know, grew up watching Home Improvement, you know, all my life. You know, you brought a lot of enjoyment into me. And before
you finish the story, he is the lone person on this show that stands up for Tim Allen all the time.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. We abuse him over this. So he really, really has to stand firm against all of us.
Right. So he's kind of like just like halfway paying attention to what I'm saying. Like he couldn't care, you know, he couldn't care less.
Right.
And he's like, you know, like, uh-huh. I'm still talking to his buddy.
Right.
And I'm just like, you know, can I take a picture? And he's like, okay. And I'm just like, what I do? I mean, dude, you're at your premiere. I mean, the least you could do is be nice to me. Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like you came up to him at a restaurant or something while he was eating with his family. I mean, he was at an event where he was talking to the press and was promoting his new film, right?
Absolutely. You guys can go to krock.com and the Ken Bean site page. My picture's up there. Yeah, he's all pissed off. And
yeah.
Pictures. It's awesome.
Did you have a chance to tell him that you are
DJ Omar Khan?
I didn't.
Didn't tell him that. That would have turned it around.
That would have turned everything around.
This is a great example, Omar. I'm glad you came in because he doesn't just know who Tim Allen is. He doesn't just like Tim Allen. He loves Tim Allen. Like, Tim Allen is your favorite actor, right?
Dude,
like, he's the guy you most are excited about when he has a new movie
out. I went
to
go see Christmas with the Cranks.
No.
Okay?
God.
That's how much of a fan I am.
All right, so it could either be your fault. You tried to say something. When you're in in that person's realm and they're your hero, you are speechless. You don't know where
you're
to
nervous.
Start, what to say, whatever. You just clam up. Most people, you know, Bean can talk to anybody, but there are a few people in this world that he actually can't speak to. He's so, and sometimes it can be your fault because you said the wrong thing, or like Omar, it can be your hero who just didn't act the way you were hoping.
Right. And like, originally, I was going to be kind of like Bean, just kind of like, I don't really want to go up to him. And my girlfriend was like, dude, when are you going to get a shot to talk to Melanie? And I was like, okay.
And it would have been better off had you not spoken to him.
Absolutely.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. We have some great calls on hold, and we're going to take a quick break and come back with some of those. You met your heroes, and it went terribly wrong next.
This is creepy, by the way. You know, I didn't talk to astronaut Buzz Aldrin this week when I had the opportunity to. And, of course, he inspired Buzz Lightyear in the Toy Story movies. Omar did talk to his hero, Tim Allen. Tim Allen was the voice of Buzz Lightyear in the Toy Story movies. What a bizarre coincidence is that?
That's the kind of conversation that Buzz Aldrin was spared because Bean, for once in his life, shut his mouth.
Good point.
I'm just saying it's a pretty remarkable coincidence. That's all I'm saying. All right, here's the topic on the table. You don't just know who they are. It's not just a celebrity that's random to you that you don't care about. I mean, I could have talked to 1,000 celebrities had sat next to me. I would have had no trouble sitting, you know, talking to them on a plane. But this guy freaking walked on the moon, and that creeped me out, and I couldn't do it. So we're talking about you talk to your hero, and it went horribly awry. That's the story we're looking for. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Christine down in Torrance? Psycho Mike, I know you're going to be excited because you share a hero with Christine. And, of course, we're talking about the great actor Christian Bale.
Hi, Kevin and Dean.
Hi, Christine.
Hi, Christine. Hi, so you love that Christian Bale, too, just like Mike does, huh?
I'm the biggest Christian Bale fan. Not so much anymore, but this was about 10 years ago. I was in the grocery store, and I'm in the produce section. I see Christian walk towards me. I follow him to the pancake aisle,
mm-hmm.
and I walk up to him and I say, excuse me, are you Christian Bale? And he says, yes, I am. And I'm like, hi, I loved you in Little Women. And he looks at me and he says, okay.
Was it the wrong movie? Was that the problem?
No, he was in that.
Possibly, but you know, I was 17, so it's like, what do you...
I mean, he was embarrassed about that movie. That's what I mean by that.
That's awesome.
I could have said Newsies. You
could have said Newsies, by the way.
Another proud moment.
He was a kid singer in that one.
Yeah. Now, Christine, in retrospect, did you wish that you had, after the fact, you know, when you left the supermarket, did you wish you had not spoken with him so you could have kept the fantasy alive?
You know, he's still hot, but I've heard other stories about him doing the same sort of thing to people, challenging them. You know, oh, I loved you in Empire of the Sun. Why?
Oh, my God.
That's awesome.
Wow.
All right. Thank you, Christine, for the call.
That's great.
Let's go to Liz in Costa Mesa. Good morning, Liz. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Liz.
Who's the guy that you ran into, your hero?
I ran into Jason Lee at a Radiohead concert.
Oh, fantastic.
He seems like a really cool guy, right?
And he was. He was really cool. But me and my roommates used to fall asleep to Mallrats, and I was really stoked on the fact that we used to do that, so I blurted it out.
Mm-hmm.
I said, hey, Jason Lee, I just want you to know that we fall asleep to Mallrats every single night. And he's like, oh. And then he turned around and walked away.
Yeah, that's not a compliment that you fall asleep during a guy's movie. You know that, right,
well,
Liz?
I mean, it's kind of like a lullaby, you know?
We fall asleep to Mallrats every night.
I think you're insulting him.
Jason Lee did the right thing.
I think too.
In this case, you blew it.
Sorry, Liz.
Thank you for the call.
Hey, let's talk to Shaheen. Talk about a legend. I mean, if you're a basketball fan, it doesn't get any bigger than this this guy's hero. Hi, Shaheen. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Okay, well, I met Laker legend Jerry West. Sixth grade.
Not only a player, you know, but also ran the Lakers for that. How long? How many years? 30 years.
By the way, Lisa, you may not be familiar with Mr. West. He's not only one of the most famous and decorated basketball players of all time. His silhouette is what's on the NBA logo. If you see that logo of the guy dribbling the basketball,
really?
It's modeled on Jerry West.
That's
how big he is in the game of basketball. Wow. All right, go ahead, Shaheen.
Yeah, I had his jersey and everything. Anyway, so I met him when I was in sixth grade because he was just hanging around my school one day. So
Wait a minute. Why was Jerry West
Hansen in here?
So you're hanging around in a little school. Why was Jerry West hanging around?
Doing that.
That's weird. Okay.
So I ran over to the PE department. And I stole a basketball and I ran up and I said, "Oh my God, Mr. West! Like, you know, you're one of my favorite players of all time. Could you please sign my basketball for me?"
Mm-hmm.
And like, he totally just like looks at me all cold and says, like, "Get out of here, you little snot. I'm waiting for my friggin' grandkids." totally destroyed my
He called you a little snot.
I know. I was like, oh, my God.
But, Shaheen, that's awesome. You can always tell people that Jerry West called you a little snot. It was like lightning when he got a call from Ozzy Osbourne, and Ozzy threatened to come down and hit him with a bat. He was like, oh, that's bad. I said, no, that's not bad. That's awesome. How many people get that story?
And Shaheen has been a Boston Celtics fan ever since.
Wow. Exactly. That's right.
All right.
Bean Town.
Thank you, Shaheen.
Awesome. That's a great
story. Jerry West. And especially when you're a kid, that's got to hurt.
Oh, my God.
Oh, we got some really good ones here.
I
don't know how many we're
going to
have time for.
We got to do
Phil. We got to do Willie. Let's do Andre right now from L.A. Andre, you're on the Kevin and Bean, Sean Kerouac. Who was your hero?
Dave Mustaine. How's it going, Kevin, Bean, Lisa May?
Hello.
Dave Mustaine from Metallica and Megadeth, right.
Okay.
Exactly. So, yeah, I'm a huge Megadeth fan. Been a Megadeth fan since I was 13. Got all their albums, all the guitar books, etc. So I find out they're playing Gigantour with Fear Factory, Dream Theater, and a bunch of other big metal bands a summer ago. And so I drove all the way from L.A. to Fresno to see them.
Right.
I got pit seats. Great concert. And so it turned out I was staying in the same hotel as all the bands. And so I got to have a beer with all the bands, Fear Factory, Dream Theater, Symphony X, and they were all such nice guys.
Nice.
And finally, at the end of the night, I'm walking up to my hotel room, and there's Dave Mustaine. You know, he's totally just right there in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, hey, Dave, you know, I'm such a big fan. Can I get a picture with you? And he wouldn't even look at me.
Oh.
He wouldn't even say a word to me. He was such a jerk.
He's a renowned prick, though. I mean,
really?
He's open about being a prick, yeah.
Well, he's so, bitter party of one if you saw the Metallica movie, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, that's funny. Thank you, Andre.
That's a great story. Hey, speaking of music, let's talk to Phil in Monrovia real quick. I don't think I've ever heard one that has gone just quite like this.
Hey, Phil.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Who's your hero?
Eric Clapton. I worship the guy and him along with the Beatles. They've been my favorite people for forever. And I went to New York to visit some family, and I got a chance to see him in this market. He was just there, and I was like, wow, this is my opportunity to tell him how significant and important he is to me. I was really nervous, and so what I did instead is I said, dude, I was there when your son dropped dead. And
what?
Why would you say something like that, Phil?
Because I'm a tool.
Well, the story doesn't apply. No, we were asking for if you blew it or they were mean to you. Either way, he blew it. What would make you say that?
I don't know. I was nervous. I mean, this is mine and my dad's hero. This is the
okay. So, oh, so you didn't say it to be a dick. You weren't trying to upset him. It's just that's the way the words came out.
Yeah, exactly. And so then right after that, I dared to ask him for an autograph.
Yeah, we can't put that on the air, but F off. Is what he wrote. Yeah. I think that's the right
signature.
I do too.
I got to back him on that one.
I do too. Under those circumstances, jeez. I think I back him on that. All right. Well, hang on. So let's just take one more. Good morning. Hello. Hello. K-Rock, hello. Why take
Buzz
one
Aldrin
call?
Buzz Aldrin here if you're looking for somebody.
Oh, this is Buzz Aldrin.
I'm not calling in.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Yeah.
We kind of wanted to surprise Bean because he sat next to you on the plane, and we actually...
Wait, hold on a sec. This isn't really Mr. Aldrin.
Yeah.
It is.
It is.
How did... He heard somebody... I think somebody that works with him heard your story or something like that. I don't know, but he's on the phone. And
I can't have this conversation right now.
You can't collapse again, Bean.
Buzz, I was sitting next to you on the flight up to Seattle on Tuesday.
Yeah, you had a couple of wires connected to your ears.
Yes, sir. I was listening to an iPod for the trip. I'm just so overwhelmed that they arranged to have you on the show. I don't even know what to say. We've been talking this week about what a thrill it was for me to be on the plane with you, sir. And I said I had so many things I wanted to talk to Mr. Aldrin about, but I just didn't have the nerve to speak up, so I didn't say anything. And now here you're on the phone.
Well, you called and you got a hold of Catherine, and she's quite eager to put me out in front of people, just like my wife Lois is. But Catherine used to work for Betty Davis, and so anyway, she called me and said, hey, you won't believe that you sat next to a guy
now,
or across.
Now, but
all I remember, I was sitting next to a blonde, and you were on the other side of the aisle.
Oh,
that's right. Yeah, we were. I was on the outside aisle seat, and then you were on the outside aisle seat. So we were about about a foot and a half apart. Right
now, do people talk to you all the time? Do they recognize you on the plane? And do you sit down hoping that it'll be somebody who doesn't want to talk?
Well, I'm usually busy trying to do something.
Mm-hmm.
The movies are not all that good these days.
Right, sure.
I don't know.
Well, and, I think the reason...
I'm not a fan of a lot of music, so I don't have to stick something in my ear to hear that.
Right, right.
I don't mind talking to people.
So if Bean would have talked to you on the plane, you would have had a pleasant conversation with him?
Well, I guess so, as long as it's not too loud.
Yeah.
Let me see. I'm not sure whether that was a flight where they... Captain mentioned that I was on the plane.
Did he did. In fact, the captain came out and got an autograph from you for his son, and
that's
part of what made me start thinking about it. I thought, the poor guy, Buzz Aldrin, I mean, for 40 years, everywhere he goes, people always want something from him. They always want to talk to him, and they always want a picture, they always want an autograph. And I didn't want to be that guy, you know, who was going to, you know, take away from your personal time. That's why I didn't say anything.
Well, my public exposure is the way that I earn a living.
So you actually,
sure.
So Bean actually,
to a degree, and that's by speaking, circulating around, motivating people, and I'm afraid that the Air Force retirement is not all that great.
Not that much.
NASA
sure.
retirement is
so Bean actually. He actually took money away from you by not talking to you.
Hey, Colonel, let me just ask you a couple things real quick that I've always, always wanted to know, because I can't imagine how you get your head around walking on the moon. I mean, I can't imagine how, I mean, is that something that comes to your mind even for a second or two every single day? Is that something you always think about day to day?
No, but I can't eliminate the fact that people are going to look at me differently if they know who I am, and
right.
somehow
mm-hmm.
I have to somehow respond to that. Now, if a guy shoves a Bible toward me and says, I want you to swear in this Bible that you guys landed on the moon, and he keeps bothering me, well, after a while, I'll poke him in the face.
You gotta hit him, right? Sometimes you just have to hit him.
And by the way, that was the coolest thing that any 72-year-old man has ever done was when you decked that guy. We were so proud of you that day.
Well, then some guy knocks at my door and walks in some crazy-looking outfit, and I end up chatting with Ali G without knowing who he is.
Yeah, you were on his show. That was spectacular.
And that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
I like to feel challenged to come up with a quick little answer to something.
Yeah.
And I guess that's why I said, on the spur of the moment, magnificent desolation. when I was on the moon.
Uh-huh.
And then we're getting ready to lift off, and I had thought about that a little bit. So Houston says, Tranquility Base, you're cleared for liftoff. And I said, Roger, Houston, we're number one on the runway. In one phrase, you got two gotchas. There was nobody else up there, and there certainly wasn't any runway.
Hey, Mr. Aldrin, if you're just joining us, we have Apollo 11 astronaut Buzz Aldrin on the line, and it's as much a surprise to me, Bean, as it is to you listening on the to the show right now. I heard some talk one time, sir, and I don't know how reliable this was, and I want to get it straight from the horse's mouth here, that there was some talk that you and Mr. Armstrong, Neil Armstrong, saw something up there on the way to the moon that you, at the time, identified as maybe being a UFO or something you weren't expecting to see or didn't know what it was. Was there anything to that, sir?
Yes. And we reported it when we came back.
Mm-hmm.
But what we saw was a light moving against the background of the stars. I looked out the window and saw this. And being Dr. Rendezvous, I know that something like that is not supposed to really be there.
Right.
So we thought, well, now let's see. When we separated from the rocket to turn around and dock with the lunar module and then disconnect the lunar module so that the command module Columbia was attached to the lander Eagle, and together we went to the moon. But in order to do that, four panels went off in four different directions, and the rocket was separate. So we thought, well, gee, maybe Houston knows where the rocket is.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we innocently sort of asked him where the rocket was. We weren't about to blurt out that looking out the window, there's a light sort of following us.
Because you don't want to be thought crazy.
Well, we didn't want other people to get crazy.
Right.
We were not crazy at all.
Right.
Anyway, we reported this thing, and I guess because of the rigorous honesty that I feel when somebody says, did you ever see a UFO, you got to say that one of those four panels was what we were looking at, because Houston came back and said the S-4B is 6,000 miles away, so we were pretty well convinced that that was not what we were looking at.
Okay.
So, but it was
that?
One of the four panels that was moving, but it was not tumbling, and you know, we weren't about to stop going to the moon and go over and look at it.
Right, sure.
I mean, there are four opportunities of what it was, and it wasn't any thing that we were going to stop doing what we were doing to try and figure out.
I would give anything to have stories like this.
Yeah, no kidding.
So I'm in the lunar module, and I'm talking to Houston. I'm on my way to the moon. I don't have any stories like that.
Hey, Mr. Aldrin, let me ask you another kind of dorky question. When you go outside at night, you're taking the trash cans up at your house or something like that, and you look up and you see the moon, do you think to yourself, yeah, I've been there. Yeah, I've been there.
Well, yeah, it's kind of trite to say that let's say a couple weeks before, in 1969, when I was home before going back to Florida and being launched, I remember looking up at the moon and saying, well, you know, it's going to look different in several weeks.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wanted to savor that moment, just like when I was on the tower and the other two guys were being put into the cabin, I was down below. Just by myself with the little air conditioning unit, looking out, seeing the sunrise and the waves kind of come in and all the people off on the beach. And I figured, geez, this is something to remember.
You think?
I could see the frost coming off the side of the rocket. And that was a moment of solitude that I had to myself. And so I guess now when I look at the moon, my wife wants to have full moon parties.
Oh, sure.
So we try and do that at the Peninsula Hotel in L.A. I guess I'm oriented as a Northern Hemisphere guy, so I know where north is, and that's kind of up on the map.
Right.
You know, when you look at a map. But you get down in the Southern Hemisphere, and you look at the moon, and you look for the Southern Cross, and Jesus, everything seems a little upside down or backwards.
You don't seem terribly impressed by the fact that you were walking on the moon.
Well,
he's had some time to get used to it, I guess.
Yeah, there were 24 human beings that reached lunar distance, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's the important separation of spacemen. The fact that 24 human beings, because that was what the commitment was, to send humans to the moon and bring them back safely.
Right.
And we're symbolic of that.
And how many of you actually...
Whether you were just there without a lander and pioneering the first time you were there and reading from Genesis over Christmas time, or whether you were there with a lander and weren't quite ready to land, so it was a dress rehearsal, or whether you were there in the command module like Mike Collins orbiting around while Neil and I got to land, every one of those 24 people performed a significant contribution, and you don't need to single out one more than the other. If you're just in Earth orbit,
sure,
very hard to do, but that's quite a bit different from reaching the gravity field of the moon. So
yeah, you're right.
It's people that really ought to have a lot more esprit de corps and camaraderie. Unfortunately, we don't. There's still a little competitiveness and...
Is there?
I was very, very fortunate to be in the right place at the right time.
And you are being, you're being very modest, Mr. Aldrin. You're being very modest.
Be envious of people who are in that position, yeah.
See, if I were you, I would, if any of those other 24 are still alive, I would email them, Moon. That's all, just Moon.
There are 18 of us still alive, and it's my intention to bring those people together in a number of 40th anniversaries that are coming up in the near future.
That's great.
Next October will be Mercury and Gemini, then Apollo, and about every 6 months we'll be having an anniversary, so we'll combine a couple of flights together. And,
I do have to tell you one thing before we go, and that is that, and you can make up your own mind on this if it creeps you out or not. Bean knows your cell phone number. You gave it to somebody else, and he heard it and committed it to memory. So
no danger of that information ever leaving my lips, Mr. Aldrin. Don't worry about
it. So you
that.
Can let do me, whatever you'd like with that information.
Let me ask you one final question, sir. How disconcerting was it to you earlier this year to have the secret of the astronaut diapers be all over the news? That must have really ticked you off.
We didn't have any of those. Really?
No kidding, really?
No.
That's
well,
new.
Handling male problems are a little different than female problems.
Right. That was a unique story, though, wasn't it?
Well, we also had to go out on a lunar surface for a good period of time and be in the lander for a good period of time. And somehow, it's not quite the same as launch and then return in the shuttle.
Right.
Once you get into orbit, you either get there or you don't. When you get there, you take off the suit and wring out the diaper or get it, whatever. So... we just had different set of problems, so we had a bag that collected the urine.
Excellent.
And hopefully didn't spill all over the place. But let me say one thing. If some reason you're a female and you want to drive across the country at night, I don't think you want to be stopping by yourself to pump gas or to go into the ladies' room. If there's
a way around that...
A clever person will do what they need to do to press on with the mission.
I never thought of it that way.
Good
point.
You've just heard Colonel Buzz Aldrin on the Astronaut Diapers here on the Kevin DeBean Show on K-Rock. Well, listen, we are up against a break here. We have to go, Lieutenant.
I have to go, too.
Yeah, thank you so much for the call. It was such a surprise to me, and I regret now that I didn't take the opportunity to speak with you on the flight the other day when I had to, but this has been just as great. And thank you so much for your time and your service to the country, sir.
Well, I got another guy by the name of Bean that I have to talk to sometime tomorrow.
Excellent.
Okay.
Say hi to him for us.
See you later, sir. Bye-bye now.
Thank you. Bye now. It's time for the Showbiz Beat with Ralph. What's going on, Ralph?
Hey, welcome to K-Buzz. You've changed formats.
Do not mock my hero.
That's what we're
talking about. Give the guy a pass. He walked on the freaking moon, Ralph.
I give him a pass. He's not to blame. Sir, Colonel, I have one more question for you. It's not a press conference. You didn't get out of the capsule. You know what? Most of the stuff is in books. Read one. It's been 40 years. We all know how it happens.
I said I had a...
I said I was proud of Bean for not talking to him. Now I wish he had.
So we had to burn through that on the plane.
On the plane.
And less on the show.
I just had a lot of questions for the man. That's all.
I had four panels, and I looked at one.
The dude
panel.
Did walk on the moon.
He did walk on the moon.
Endlessly impressed by his achievements.
He walked on the moon.
I dig it.
All right.
Right.
But he wasn't walking on the moon while we were watching on our show today. Saying.
Ralph, you...
Bean's right.
Never mind.
Well,
it's 9:04.
I've got some bad news, Bean.
What? What's going on now?
Just this just in from CNN.
Yeah? Don't even say it.
Bean's conversation with Buzz.
Yeah?
killed him.
No! Yeah. Come on!
That's so. True. And the K-Rock microphones were there.
We're just there without a lander and pioneering the first time you were there and reading from Genesis.
Buzz?
Yeah. Buzz
is gone. Why would you even joke about that? Come on.
Buzz is gone.
Who's Sorry, that Buzz. Guy that's always there? That's really weird.
Someone who's very concerned about people's well-being.
He's really worried about people.
He always checks on them once they go down.
How about a little help while they're joking?
Well, I guess it was too late for Buzz.
Buzz?
Oh.
Sorry,
come
Buzz.
On.
Houston, we have a problem.
Well, I don't know who behind the scenes set that up, but I want to thank them and thank Buzz Aldrin for being on the show. It was a lot of fun. Hey, what's going on, Ralph?
Catherine. She used to work for Betty Davis.
Britney Spears and Kevin Federline might be calling off their divorce.
What?
According
really?
To Star Magazine.
Nothing's made me more happy than hearing this.
Brit has never looked better to Kevin after she, of course, attacked photographers with an umbrella, shaved her head, pierced her labia, got more tattoos, and developed a hardcore drinking problem.
Sure.
Kevin knows now he can't live without her.
All those things are attractive to him.
Never loved her more. She's now the catch. Now she's a catch.
Perfect woman.
Apparently she feels the same. So they may be calling off the divorce sometime
soon. Son of a gun.
I hope those
What is it about kids. Kevin that makes you love him?
He's so simple.
Right.
And from the rehab update, Lindsay Lohan now is out of rehab, and apparently she is staying on the wagon, but she has replaced one obsession with another. According to friends surrounding the actress, she's gone boy crazy. According to In Touch magazine, the past few weeks, she has been seen with a mystery dude who no one knows, two guys from the band Fall Out Boy, Jackass star Steve-O, and DJ Qualls, who played the geek in Road Trip.
Sure.
I like meat.
Family apparently trying to get her back in promises for their 30-day Wang rehab. See if she can kick Wang.
Do they have that?
They do. Oh. Try to wean her off the Wang.
I guess everybody does love dick.
It's Wang wean.
Try to wean her? Is that what you're saying, Ralph?
That's what wean her off the Wang. That's what they're trying to do.
Generous slices of juicy beef.
Yes. Shut up, Mike.
And then Mike was in the module that was flying around, and I... Tang was ours. They made it for us, Tang.
Bohinder?
Delicious orange powdered flavored drink.
Captain?
Today's celebrity birthday is Cameron Manheim from The Practice, who's 46 years old today. Oh, how much cake is she gonna have on her birthday? Kathy Ireland's 44 years old today. Freddie Prinze Jr., of course, from Scooby-Doo, had his own TV series, and now he plays Donnie Crane over there on Boston League.
Oh,
too.
Right.
Oh, that's right.
He's 31
yeah.
years old today. And James Van Der Beek. Oh, James. Jimmy, we miss you. Get back in the game, Jimmy.
Do we?
Not really. He was Dawson, of course, on Dawson's Creek. 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Buzz?
I don't belong.
Remember that time when you rocked him? You just hit, boom! You just hit him right in the face.
Yeah,
in the hospital.
He couldn't perform that night, remember?
Good times.
Yeah, they had to cancel the show at Universal because I hit him in the face. That's true. That was good times. It's 9:45 on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Time for your calls for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew right now with some great prizes on the line, including a pair of passes. Here we go, to the red carpet world premiere of Shooter. That's tonight in Westwood, the new Mark Wahlberg film, plus a $25 Pizza Hut gift card. And a pair of tickets to see your Los Angeles Kings take on the Chicago Blackhawks on Thursday, March 15th. That's at Staples Center. Buzz Aldrin, you're a hockey fan. You like going to the games, right?
I went to a game once, and there were guys on the ice who had sticks, and it was cold. I saw the frost on the ice.
Yeah, we don't have time for the rest.
We're out of time.
There's three periods, and I looked at one of the periods, and I said, I don't know what that light is.
Jason in Simi Valley, good morning.
Good morning. What'd it do, nephew?
What'd it do, nephew?
So, Sam's
strength is not going to be speed. And for anybody that's ever had a haircut by him, you sit down there, and at slow-mo, it's still scary.
Oh, this is the same guy. Jason, you're the guy that called yesterday and said you got your hair cut by Sam, and that's what prompted the whole cutting hair record that we were talking about.
Yeah, when I hear this phone call, I feel like I have to warn my fellow man about this because it's terrifying enough sitting there in slow-mo. And it comes across in the show, like, I used to think Sam was just not funny and kind of annoying, but in real life, once you meet him, there's something wrong with it.
Yeah, well, he's retarded. There's no question about that. Jason, what about, and let me ask you guys, too, what about if he just did buzz cuts? What about if you didn't have to worry about finesse or detail or styling?
Well, that pretty much is what he does already. It's just like a little buzz. I don't think he really even used scissors so much. He used buzz clippers and a comb on a lot of the stuff that he did on me.
What kind of what you go in for?
What kind of person who cuts hair for a living doesn't use scissors?
Sam.
That makes sense. Comedian.
They won't let him have sharp objects.
So you think he'll make it then? That's what you're saying.
If you give him a pair of clippers, I think anybody could make it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that qualifies as a haircut.
Well, I think we're going to talk to the Guinness people tomorrow and figure out exactly what goes into the whole thing, what kind of haircut, all that kind of stuff. So, Ramon in Ontario, good morning.
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
Yeah.
Nice, Ramon.
I'm sure Lisa finds that hot. Okay, what are you calling about?
Well, where do I sign up to get my haircut?
We're not quite at that point yet, but I think we might be next week.
Well, it'll be down at Cal State Long Beach. We know that much.
Right.
But I'm looking for him to cut my hair with shears. You know, I don't know about that buzz cut thing, you know?
Listen, if you're going to have Sam do it, you can't be picky.
Yeah, man, you
shears. Okay.
Like hedge clippers?
Oh. So he can stand like 4 feet away.
I don't know if you want Sam in a hurry and stoned cutting people's hair.
I think we do. No, that makes for great times.
That makes for blood.
Yes.
Guys, we could have a blood drive and him having break the record at the same time. We should call the Red Cross.
That's a great idea.
Ralph, you're still off Lost. You don't watch the Lost anymore. You quit, right?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, there's a television show on ABC called Lost that used to be very, very good, and now not so much.
Was it
Josh from Ontario? Yes, it was. Yeah. Josh from Ontario is calling to talk about last night's show.
This is Josh from Ontario, California.
Hey, Dewan.
Sorry, that was my best Dewan. Anyway, Lost. Oh, my gosh. Guys, what happened to that show? It used to be so good.
I didn't see it this week yet. What was this week?
Okay, in a nutshell, two things that happened that were really important to the story is Sawyer can't call anyone bad names for a week because he lost to Hurley at table tennis, because obviously they found a table tennis.
Okay, wait a minute.
They found a ping pong table on the island.
There's a ping pong table on the island, and now Hurley, because he won, makes Sawyer not call people names. That's what you're saying? That's a plot point. Okay.
Yes, and that was a lot of last night's show. So now he can't say, hey, fat ass. He has to call him Hurley. So that was what they took care of last night. What was point number two?
Point number two is Saeed had a whole backstory, and it all, in the end, really revolved around a cat that he saw on the island.
That's not true.
That's not true at all. The torture. It was all around the fact that he saw a gray cat, and it made him think of some lady he tortured when he was in the Republican Guard or something.
Okay, so let me see if I can recap. Last week it was Cheech and driving a van around the island. This time it's ping pong and a cat.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Lost has become Gilligan's Island. That's what it is. That's the plot lines. Because I think Gilligan beat Skipper once at table tennis, and then they both had to bang the professor or something.
I will say,
although Josh is absolutely right, that was two of the things that were on last night's show. I will say that some of the Saeed stuff was pretty interesting, and you do meet the guy with the eye patch that you saw on that video monitor.
Yeah.
Once you finally meet him and find out what his story is. So they did advance the story.
So they've added another character. That's what you're telling me. That was the good part. They added an additional character
to dilute the
story more.
Yeah, that's essentially what I'm telling you. Yes. Okay,
exactly. Mike, you watched it.
Last night's episode was awesome. Clearly the best of this season, and got my interest back in the show. You got a lot of answers. You actually found out what the Dharma Initiative was. You got a background on the Dharma Initiative, and you got some answers on what you've been looking for. And all the flashbacks, like you said, to Saeed were actually very interesting and had kind of like a compelling plot, you know, behind them. That guy's a retard.
They should table the flashbacks for a while. They should put those in the back burner and start doing more present flashes and move along a little bit.
So spend more time with the ping pong in the present, is that what you're saying?
Yes, exactly.
All right, let's go to Lindsay in Tribuco.
Tribuco
Canyon. Right.
Canyon, hi.
Oh, Tribuco.
What it do, nurse?
Oh. I
Well, since it was such a nice weekend last weekend, I decided to have Sunday Funday at my house with a bunch of friends.
Sunday Funday, okay.
Yeah, you know, get ways to have beer, all that kind of good stuff.
Sure.
And so my mom comes home and decides to join the party. So we end up doing beer bongs through those, you know, those pool noodles that you float on?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, we're doing beer pong or beer bongs through that. We're doing keg stands because my girlfriend bought a keg. Chugging bottles of wine.
Okay.
And
that is Sunday fun day.
But wait a minute, wait a minute. Here's the part that I'm missing. Your mom did all that with you?
Yeah.
No,
not so much.
Why would you? What country do you live in, Lindsay? Have you ever heard the radio before?
If you put face at the end of the word, it makes it okay somehow?
You can't say that. You got her wasted, is what you're talking about.
Well, the best part is that I have a breathalyzer. And so towards the end of the night, we're all like, okay, well, let's see who's, you know, the most drunk.
Mm-hmm.
My mom blew a .18.
Dude!
Congratulations.
You do good work. I think we need to do a call-in of people who got their parents wasted. It's a good call-in right there.
Wow.
I don't think I'm going to trust Lindsay to call back, though. I'll tell you that.
Who did your mom end up with at the end of the night, though? That's what I want to know.
My mom ended up with a great hangover the next morning.
That's not what he's asking.
Probably passed out.
One of your friends.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
When you weren't looking.
Hey, yep. Buzz Aldrin, your wife has moonlight parties, like full moon parties at the hotel, right?
Lois wants to have a moonlight party. She keeps me out in the public eye because the Air Force doesn't have a very good pension. And Catherine, who represents me, she used to work with Betty Davis.
It wasn't Grandpa Simpson we talked to. It was actually Buzz Aldrin. Yes. Ralph, come on.
Very, very similar.
What about Jenner in L.A., if we have time for another? It's Kevin and Bean's What a New Nephew on K-Rock. What? What's so funny?
Nothing. Jenner, nothing. Good morning.
One call too many.
Hey, Val.
No, Jenner's good.
I have a question. If I take Buzz Aldrin to Deadpool, do I actually lose points?
Yes.
Well, yeah, you're not going to score very many points if he dies. No, because he's quite old.
Yeah. It's like betting the favorite at Santa Anita. You're not going to get a big payday.
Right. Right. What's the point? All right, what are you calling about, Jen?
Okay, yeah, just Dodger fan, you hear about this story, 5 months in jail for, well, they fingered him as a murderer, okay? So he spent 5 months in jail. He's getting paid $320,000 by the LA City Council for being wrongly accused of murder.
Oh, so he's the guy who supposedly killed a Giants fan?
Yeah, but HBO was filming at the time, and they dug up tape that proved he was at the game, just like he said.
Yeah, this was the Curb Your Enthusiasm case. Right. That's the same guy you're talking about, right?
Right.
I have no idea what you people are talking about. Curb Your Enthusiasm? I don't know.
They were filming there at the game.
In the background behind Larry David while they were shooting the episode. He was in his seat in the stands.
I think this is the execution-style murder guy, though. This is different, isn't it?
This guy's mixing up two stories, then, because the guy that was in that TV show, he was paid $320,000 for being wrongly jailed.
So the Dodger fan who killed the Giants guy is not the guy who's getting paid the big dollars?
I don't believe so.
Correct.
Okay, wow, that was a mistake to go to Jenner's call.
No, that was good. Strong.
That was good. I'm glad we did
that. Murky at all.
That was excellent.
See, that's what's great about the Dodger fans, though, is you have so many murderers to choose from. It's kind of tough to keep all the stories straight. So, all right, well, let's go out on a whimper. That sounds good. I like that.
That's our MO. I think Buzz just passed. Did I hear it? Buzz passed. That was the news I heard from CNN.
Oh, no, are you kidding?
Yeah, we just got a late-breaking story. We might have had the last interview ever with Buzz Aldrin.
We talked to him
were the K-Rock microphones there?
Yeah, they were.
We're just there without a lander and pioneering the first time you were there and reading from Genesis.
Oh,
no.
It's such a struggle.
Buzz?
That's very sad. I want to thank our guests on today's show, including Lieutenant Buzz Aldrin, NASA superstar, for joining us.
Lieutenant or Colonel? What is he?
He's a lieutenant.
Oh, all right. Colonel. That's all I know.
I think we should have him on every day. I think it should be like the Buzz Minute where he tells another story. And thanks also to actor Gerard Butler for joining us today. He stars in a new film called 300 that opens up everywhere tomorrow. Also tomorrow we have Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh,
Black Snake Moan.
The man.
Going to talk to him on the program. We got Kurt Russell.
Mohinder.
We have Kurt Russell. All right. We have Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
What?
From Grindhouse, which opens April 6th. We're going to talk to him tomorrow. We have
Captain
Drew from Fark.com on the show tomorrow. Who would Lisa rather F? Another exciting edition of that tomorrow. Movie Beat. And we have your tickets to see My Chemical Romance and a Nintendo Wii system. You win both all day tomorrow.
And you get to go backstage this weekend and play the Nintendo Wii with My Chemical Romance.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
That sounds like fun, the whole Wii thing.
Yes, it does.
My Chemical Romance.
I wish anyone here was listening.
I'm listening, buddy. I'm right
Thank
here with
you, Ralph.
You. I'm
Thank
right
you.
With you.
That sounds like a good time.
Backstage, My Chemical Romance playing the Wii. And you take the Wii home after you're done.
Yes, you do. You get to keep it.
That's
yes.
magic.
So that's cool.
Oh!
Show this weekend is sold out.
Kat Corbett is up next. If she dares follow this program with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock next, including that song from Silver Sun Pickups, also some Red Hot Chili Peppers, hard to believe. We got Guns N' Roses, Stone Temple Pilots, Rise Against, and so much more straight ahead on the world-famous K-Rock.
Captain.